listen, laugh, and learn. Welcome to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
He walks with me and he talks with me. Good morning.
You're listening to another live edition of the Don Miller Show. Y'all, I can't wait to get in the studio because doing the show remotely is just not the same. So I love being here. Welcome to the Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh, and learn on the Florida Man Radio Network. Get your phones ready because we have some juicy conversations
today.
He
walks with me and he talks with me.
Like, sometimes I don't know if you like mocking.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Thank you so much.
It's got to be mocking.
I know, right?
At that tone.
Okay,
right,
finish, Holly, finish your job. Finish your job.
I'm just saying, if you have not done it already, go ahead and download the Florida Man Radio app, because that way you can listen to us all over the country. Tell your friends, tell your colleagues, download that app so you guys can hear us all over the country. But if you're in the Orlando area in Ocala, you're listening to us on 101.1 and 102.3 HD3. On your HD radio.
What about Orlando?
103.1 FM.
And the beautiful panhandle of Florida. Where they listening in the beautiful panhandle of Florida.
Oh, wow.
That's 103.1 FM. The Don Miller Show, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Let's do the radio. Amped up.
Listen. Again, join the lively auto conversation. You can call us, 321-339-1055 is the number to dial. Or you can text us at that number, right? Two sentiment. You can text us at that number.
Steady.
Or you can head over to the app and push that button that has the microphone on it. You can leave us a 30-second open mic for all my long-winded cousins.
Longer.
It's 30 seconds. What is it going to do, Holly? 30.
Alien grip. Thank you so much again. Lexi, check off those headphones if you don't mind. Turn the air down before the black man in America. Hell no. It's that time. It's the Don Miller Show. We got our boy in the studio. He's smart, so we have to be different when he's here. The Dr. Elmore is in this piece with
Elmore.
Us. Dr. Elmore did this thing with us, boy. Listen to me, guys.
We have to
ladies,
act like we have
gentlemen.
Some home
no,
training.
We are not going to change who we are and what
proper
we represent.
Today.
Oh, man. He walks with me and he talks with me. He tells me I am his guy. Is it? No, it's, I am his own.
Listen,
okay.
Holly.
I'll try, man. Walk that fine line.
Go ahead, walking that line. Thank you so much, everybody.
Wow.
Again, the Don Miller Show. D'Amica Page is in this studio.
Yay.
321-339.
That's supposed to be applause. She's supposed to have applause today. Okay, we're going to work on
D'Amica, she's been here.
321-339-1055, the number to dial.
Holly, when are you going to come down?
I'm going to be down there hopefully next week.
Okay.
Hopefully
so nice,
week.
Man. But
you need
yes.
to give us at least once a quarter or something.
Yeah, well, I want to do it every day, but you got to get
but in the meantime, in between time, can we get like once a quarter? Can we get you in the studio or something?
Yeah, we're working on it. We're definitely working
okay,
on it.
Okay, I'm just saying. The
yeah, I'm trying. I'll be missing. I'll be missing y'all in the morning.
I know. It's different, right?
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah, remote is very different.
You know, thank you so much. Speaking of remote, what the hell? I had something to say.
Get that ginkgo.
I got me. Remember, I got me some ginkgo biloba.
But you forgot where you put it.
I can't find it.
Oh,
that don't help a damn little bit. That don't help a little bit. I got that big old half gallon jug of ginkgo biloba.
Now,
the Amazon dude knocked on the door.
And looking for it.
Who is
it?
Amazon? I got a big ass gallon of ginkgo biloba for Don Miller. I'm like, bring it on in. Sit it right over there, man. How the hell are you lose a gallon of ginkgo biloba? I was like, man, it ain't for me to remember, apparently.
Don't
it just ain't for me.
Don't
I'm telling you right now. No,
yeah, I can
for
use
real,
some
man.
Of that myself.
Let me just say this before we move on to the conversation. The greatest weapon of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. Let me repeat that for the people in the back. The greatest weapon of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. An amazing, great leader once said that. And I want to kind of go into the conversation because we are watching things fall apart, yet the level of denial is amazing. Mm-hmm. Watching it fall apart. Holly's falling apart in front of our eyes. And the level of denial is amazing. And the people who should be waving their hands and calling it out, well, just sitting around, just minding their own business while taking money from those who need the most help. But it's really, really, really important when we come into the studio, sit at this microphone, guys, to present the best truth that we can present at the highest level in which we can present it, right? Mm-hmm. It's tough. It ain't easy. I think people think we just come in here and sit around, just be going back and forth with each other. The reality of it is, guys, this is hard as hell to do every day. It's hard as hell to be amped up in the morning when the trials and tribulations around you are bludgeoning you, man. Truly, when you gotta leave, when I leave here and I run into people everywhere I go and they ask me the same damn question, Don Miller, what is we gonna do? I'm telling you right now, man.
What is we gonna do?
I don't know, people.
Tyrone.
T-Bone. What is we going to do? I tell that story often, guys, before we get into the conversation. I want to tell you where that came
Holly,
from.
Do you know about the T-Bone story?
I don't know about T-Bone. No, oh,
many years ago.
I heard the story thousands.
Many years ago. Thank you. I tell everybody. Thank you. Many years ago. Many years ago, Elmore, I'm in the airport in Chicago, Midway Airport. I'll never forget this. We used to fly in the Midway when we went to Chicago, went home. This is prior to 9/11 and all the changes. And Holly, you recall, you can fly in the Midway and be in the car in 5 minutes. Like, bam.
Yeah.
You could see the plane from the car. And it was right there. So you fly.
Quick airport.
So you get into Midway, and I'm get to the gate, and I see this young black couple, and they're standing in line. That's when you could walk somebody to the gate, right? And she had this look on her face like she was getting ready to cry, and he had his backpack on like he was leaving. And they hugged each other for a long embrace. And I was standing there. I was like, oh, man, that's beautiful. And he smiled at her. And I could see the smile and the glistening gold teeth as she looked upon him. No, for real.
Glistening gold teeth.
Yeah, he had a whole gold grill. And she walked away. And then she turned around. And everybody was looking because the embrace that they shared was one of those embraces like, damn, he might not be coming back. Right?
Right.
And she hugged him. Then she went back and she hugged him again, and I could see a blonde-haired lady standing next to me. The tears was welling up in her eyes like, oh, my God, this is love, right? And then she walked off, and as she walked down the hall, she turned one more time, and I could hear her voice. It resounded off the walls of Midway Airport. She hollered out, T-Bone, what is we gonna do? And I said to myself, first thing we gonna do is get your ass some remedial reading classes.
Oh,
and some English. And get you a couple of tests and get you ready for the real world.
Oh, wow.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Oh, wow. Counseling.
What is we gonna do, T-Bone? And T-Bone looked at her and he started crying. And then the lady next to him with the blonde hair started crying. And my black ass, guess what I did, y'all? I started crying.
Oh, you
because I was trying to figure out what was we gonna do.
You're terrible.
The first thing we gonna do is take you back to third grade English
remedial
Miss Taylor's class because you didn't make it through that on time or something's going on with you in your life, baby girl. Come on, man, let's do the radio show.
It's real talk, man.
Wow. Y'all think I'm making that up?
Oh my goodness!
Mm-hmm. What is we gonna do?
Lady stopped me the other day and say, what is we going to do? And I looked at the lady, and I just was reminded of that moment in Midway Airport in the summer of 1991. Yeah.
But why you can't remember your ginkgo?
The short term is the problem. Short term. Let's look at short term, maybe. Short term is the problem. I can remember what happened when I was 6 years old. When I peed on the red seats in Sunlight Missionary Baptist Church, they had the little reds covering on the benches, on the pews, had
why
red covering.
You
did,
they wouldn't let me go to the bathroom.
Oh.
And I peed on the.
Oh, so you was bad.
No, okay. I peed on the seat, man. I'm telling you. And I was sitting there. Remember when the church pews had the red, little red on them?
Holly, that's because probably when they normally let him go to the bathroom, he'd be in there cutting up and doing stuff he wasn't supposed to be doing. So then he was on bathroom punishment.
Exactly. Shout out to my pastor, my first real pastor. Reverend Luther James Maxwell, he's 96 years old, Sunlight Missionary Baptist Church in Chicago.
Still alive?
Yeah, Reverend Maxwell still alive.
Oh, Lord.
96. Sunlight Missionary Baptist Church. We used to be at 3115 South Prairie, right there on the corner by the park. And then my long-term memory, cold. I'm telling you, but you asked me what I did yesterday. I can't help you.
Doctor, help me,
please. I can't help you right now. I don't know if I got gas or had gas. I don't know if I got gas or had gas. But I can tell you, when I was a little boy, 6 years old, Sunlight Missionary Baptist Church, I was sitting next to Dwight Johnson and Mark Harvey, and I peed on myself.
Mark Harvey.
Said, baby, you're going to have to just sit in there. We was at revival service. I never
should have. To tell everybody that you peed on yourself.
I know. Okay. He's so comfortable. I admire that about you, though.
That's not something to be comfortable with.
Okay, hold on. Holly. This me. Yeah. You ain't never peed on yourself. See what I mean? See what I mean, guys? See what I mean? It's always me, guys. It's always me, right?
Not everybody trying to tell it.
It's always me, man. Yeah, we'll take that silence as a mission of guilt.
Oh my goodness.
Look, shout out to one of our favorite listeners and a sponsor of the Don Miller Show. Just text us, Rosie. Skip, man, over at Skip's Western Outfitters,
What's up, Skip?
Locations, Osteen, Florida, and the Megastone in beautiful Daytona across from the Speedway. Man, that dude, man, he just be listening to the Don Miller Show. How about you go to work, Skip? Go to your job, and you don't have to sit at home and listen to the damn Don Miller Show.
I haven't been to the store at Daytona.
Shout out to Lance over at High Reach, man. I love my sponsors. They be listening to see if I'm going to say something messed up so they can pull their sponsorship. Cancel my black ass.
We got to have to cancel Don Miller. He is inappropriate on the radio, on the Florida Man Show.
Well, he told me when I came here, unafraid and what, D'Amica?
Unfiltered.
Hell yeah, don't you tell no black man he's unfiltered, because I'm already unafraid because I'm tired of being afraid. Don't you tell me I'm unfiltered now.
Hey, Don, I don't know if you noticed, but they did put the air on. Feels much better.
Yes,
Thank you so much.
I ain't trying to smoke
my
you out.
Feet cooler.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, go ahead. Can we do the radio show, man?
Oh my goodness.
Y'all can't give me this damn high octane coffee and expect me to just sit over here and be somebody I'm not. Go ahead.
Holly, speaking of pastors and inappropriateness, did you get the story that we sent on the Strong Men's Conference that happened over the weekend in Springfield, Missouri?
No, I did not.
So let me get
you ain't look because I sure sent it to
let
you.
Let me give you the gist before I tell you my issue. Mm-hmm. So we can get it out. I want to get some off my chest this morning. So there, you know, there's a annual men's conference. It's a Christian men's conference, and it's called the Stronger Men's Conference. It happens in a church in Springfield, Missouri, and they are pretty known for doing some pretty. They're known for engaging in entertainment. Like there was one year they had this big old tank come in and just all kind of craziness, in my opinion. Well, this year, Holly, they decided that it would be a good idea to have a male stripper, a whole platform with a pole.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, let me say that.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again.
Who is it that's doing this?
This was a Christian men's conference called the Stronger Men's Conference.
Some sissy action.
Men's conference.
Somebody decided
it was a good idea
to have a male stripper.
So he actually is a former stripper.
Oh, you know, former. Either you stripped or you did not strip.
But a part of the intro and the entertainment in the intro, they allowed him to do his old routine. he was a former stripper, but he's doing his old routine. So he did a sword swallowing pole dancing routine. So he took off. He's on the platform. He's in front of the pole that you see at the strip club. He takes off his shirt He proceeds to swallow a sword.
He swallowed a sword.
He goes up the court, up the pole, and starts doing a pole dancing routine in front of thousands and thousands of men and their sons. And this was the opening of a Christian men's conference. Yeah. I was absolutely floored when I saw the video. Okay.
What bothered you the most about it? The sword swallowing?
Oh, wow. Was it the skill or was it the fact that he was swallowing?
Were you, like, disgusted yet impressed?
Oh, was it because he was in church?
I would think that anybody who's professing to be a Christian. No, I don't know. I didn't see any rain. I didn't see them making it rain. That would have made it even worse.
Hold on. Let me just say this.
But a pastor, one of the guest pastors.
Got mad.
Well, he took offense to it. Yeah. One of the guests,
Mark Driscoll.
Mark Driscoll. When he got up to do his presentation or his sermon, he mentions it before he starts his commentary or whatever you want to call it, his sermon, and as he's starting to bring correction to the fact that we have a male stripper here, and he's explaining the Jezebel spirit and what that looks like, and the guest pastor made him get off the stage and told him he was out of order. They didn't make the stripper get off the stage when he was doing his pole dancing routine, but they made the pastor that was bringing correction get off the stage.
Wait a minute. So the stripper's name, right?
Yes.
It was a stripper and a sword. Now listen.
The male stripper did the sword swallowing. Okay,
so
that
was
a part of his routine.
Alex Magala, right?
Yes, now let me just say stripper.
This on behalf of Christian people. Holly, what you doing, man? You know, broke your microphone, Holly. Pick it up.
And put a
it
lot of background noise.
So, Holly, listen. I'm gonna speak on behalf of me and Holly, okay? And most men that I know. I'm gonna just say this right here on the record. Then we can do this. I've dated a Christian sword swallower before.
A male?
No.
But
she was a sword swallower. I'm telling you why not. Yeah.
And that's Kalinda
Jones.
And that's what the sword symbolizes. Exactly how you saying it.
I know. That's why I'm telling you.
And that was done at a male conference.
Come on, you know what's going on.
No. I've never seen nothing that blatant.
No, listen to me. You know, Dr. Elmore, we talked about this a while ago. We are in a season of turnabout. Now, let me just say what this means, right?
And then I want to tell you my real issue.
Don't nobody care anymore. This is not your grandmama's church. This is whatever goes on, goes. And I don't know why, because you and your walk and your hand-holding with your personal savior.
See, all that sounds like mocking right now.
No,
I'm telling you. I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
D'Amica, everybody wasn't offended by this. There were men with their sons in this stronger man conference.
There were plenty that were, because
they didn't walk out.
When the guest pastor got on the stage after he made the... When the host pastor got on the stage after he made the guest pastor leave, he got a lot of boos, and some people did leave.
Okay, good. Because that should have been a bunch of people left.
I agree. Yeah. It should have been a bunch of people leave. I agree.
Who was at the meeting when they planned to do this?
Exactly, Holly. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, somebody didn't sit down and go, hey, guys, I think what we need to do is get a butt-naked man and have him stand around and swallow swords in front of little boys to show
the holy stripper I'm in love with is Jesus.
This is wrong on every level.
I don't care
what you say. I'm against it.
But let me just say this, D'Amica, and I got to say this to you, right? Mm-hmm. This is why the level of brokenness is where it is today, right? It's allowed because there are people who came to the defense of these idiots,
a lot of people.
Right? Even some of these Negroes in these Negro churches, okay, came to defense, and you know a black person to grab a scripture and run it around the parking lot, okay? that somebody hollered and said, Matthew 18.
The host pastor used scripture.
If your brother offends you, go to him privately. Come on with these scriptures, y'all.
He was out of context.
Yeah. Listen to me, man. Sometimes you got to chastise in front of people. Yeah?
Because it was done in front of thousands of people. It required
I wish I would have been there with my child and somebody do this nonsense. Come on, wait.
So here's my thing, Holly.
These are all white people, too. I just want to put that out there for the radio audience.
Oh.
Terrible.
All white.
You're absolutely terrible.
White Christians. These are all white Christians, Holly.
I hate to say it, but I feel a little bit better. Because I was like, if we done got to that
it's
point,
it's not better.
We're done.
So it's Elmore.
It's my cross to bear, Holly. Don't worry.
You're taking it
on.
You're taking it on.
I'm going to have to do it for the white issue.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you accepting that.
Okay, but let me just say this. It's funny, but it ain't funny.
No, it's not funny. Mm-hmm.
The challenge we face is the level of expectation.
Okay, before go you ahead. Go there. Yeah, before
still
you
got
go.
A high level of expectation. For people
absolutely,
who live
because
in
I believe the word. I'm not a trans Christian. I'm not
okay,
a trans.
Can you tell me what that is?
People who identify as Christian, but they're not really a Christian.
They trans Christian.
They trans Christian.
I like that. Got a hashtag trans Christian.
Wow.
You know, I believe that word. I believe it. And I believe that we're supposed to be doers. I just believe that, okay. You know? Okay. So you can be mad at me all you want.
No, I appreciate you.
It is what it is. I'm going to stand on that. But here's my issue. Here's my biggest issue with that. Mm-hmm. Because we come on here day after day and we talk about the education system. We talk about our kids being indoctrinated in the education system instead of them focusing on, basic grammar, English, math, science, instead of them helping them be proficient in these basic areas, they're pushing the LGBTQ agenda. Yeah. They're pushing alternative sexuality and alternative lifestyle. They're pushing this with little kids. So we complain as conservatives, we complain and we bring attention to the indoctrination in the education system. But guess what? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You have a men's conference that's supposed to be Christian, that's supposed to be teaching the word of God, and they're indoctrinating them into that same lifestyle. You have a man pulling off his shirt and crawling up a pole in front of fathers and their sons. Come on, y'all. It's the same thing. We got to call it what it is.
Yeah, and it goes back to there is a lack and a fear of God. There were a day and a time you would never even hear tell of anything like this. And I'm not saying things went on behind closed doors or whatever, but if a person is broken and they're trying to get to the church house to get repaired, mm-hmm. and then you go and bring the same activity that they're trying to get away from right back into the church house, where is their hope? We just don't fear God the way that our forefathers feared God. There's no respect in the church. People will do anything because these are hirelings. These not people that are called to be pastors and priests and lead men and women and children to Christ. They are just hired help. And that's why you can see a lot of this stuff that go on in the church. I mean, they pull all types of gimmicks and tricks to get people in the church.
It's crazy. For some reason, somebody told these pastors and leaders that the church is supposed to be a theater, and I don't know where they got that from. And Holly, I agree with you. Even when I wasn't in the church, I had enough fear in me to say, you know what? No, I like having sex outside of marriage, and I'm not going to go over there and play because I'm not going to stop doing it. I'm not going to stop doing it, so I'm not going to go over there and pretend. You understand what I'm saying?
Right,
when I was in the world, I was in the world. I wasn't going to be over here doing all of this foolishness and then up in your face pretending like, no, I just didn't do it. And I, like Holly said, because there's just no fear. Even if you're not ready to do it, there was enough fear in you to say, you know what, I'm not going to disrespect you like that, Lord.
Right.
I'm not ready to serve you yet, but I'm not going to disrespect you either. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm not going to disrespect you.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here learning. Don't look over here at me. I've been calling it what it is. Remember, I got boycotted by the church, okay? Remember that? They called and told him, y'all need to take him off the radio over there when I was at the Christian station cussing on the radio, but that's a whole
different story. But you bought some of that to yourself.
I bought a lot of that to myself. Again, you used the word called harlot. Is that the word?
Harlan.
Okay, Harlan. See, Dr. Elmore Lowry's in the studio. He's a real doctor, and he's kind of smart, educated guy. But I'm not surprised anymore, right? And
I was surprised.
The agenda of the trans LGBT narrative is everywhere now. You get canceled. I'm so glad to be over here with Florida Man Radio. Unfiltered and what?
Unafraid.
Unafraid.
Because I'm telling you right now, I just feel so good. I'd have been canceled somewhere else. They'd have canceled me a long time ago. But the point is, we got to look at the agenda. And the agenda is stealth, right? The agenda can move, right? See, sometimes we get upset because we feel a certain way. Let me just say this. I said this on the radio the other day, and I'm going to say it one more damn time. Satan was on the team, okay? Satan know the game plan. Satan know all the plays.
He know all the
Satan
plays.
Was on the team. He was a starter, right?
That's
right.
So true.
Before he got cut from the team, Satan was in the game.
That's so
How
true.
How do we not understand that there's no place that can't be circumvented or
co-opted
by a guy who played for the Lakers. You know what I mean? Let's be clear, right?
I like that analogy.
Come on, stay with me. Sometimes we get a little confused. Let's head over to the phone lines. You are listening to the Don Miller Show. Caller, what's your name? Where you joining us from this morning?
They call me Lazy.
Hey, what up, LP?
Hey, LP. Why you ain't in the studio?
How you doing? How you doing, LP? How you doing, IT?
Go ahead.
I got two questions. And, shout out to the doctor. I got two questions right now. One is how easy do you think that it is to infiltrate the black community, the black church? Actually, just say Christian church.
Very easy.
And then the second one, and it's exactly. So, and the second one is why? As you know, it's more of a statement.
Come on, your phone's cutting out.
My bad. I believe pretty much that the only way to bring this back to the fear of God, like the doctor said, he said the fear of God is the issue, and like you guys already laid out the examples. I believe that once the fire and brimstone teachings, the actual teachings on hell and the repercussions of it, and then all this little sweet, sweet, sour, it's because
because we're getting watered down, sugary word. I've heard some people say.
Well, thank you so much,
it's
man.
Sugary.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, man.
Love y'all.
Love you. Let me just say this for real, y'all.
I heard a minister call it sugary word.
Let me just say this, y'all.
You know what sugar do to your system, right?
Okay. Let me just say this for real, y'all. Play too much. That's amazing, and I'll tell you. See, this is what happened. I'm going to tell you what happened. They don't talk about Satan no more, right? Mm-hmm. You hear me? Satan is bigger than whatever Satan is, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is Satan? Let's ask the question.
He got categories,
right? Okay? First of all, how often you ask these young folk who, first of all, we're living in the first generation. I'm going to state this in this box real quick. We're living in the first generation of unchurched black people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of unchurched whites, more unchurched whites probably than ever before.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, Stedman, no matter where you were, if you lived in a rural, for sure, even if you lived in an urban, somebody went to church. And the neighbor was going to church and your parents didn't go to church.
They would see
the neighbor would say, hey, yeah, let me take them to church.
That's so true.
Right? Mm-hmm. This transcended race, correct, Stedman? Yeah. So now all of a sudden, the crisis has become the infiltration, the indoctrination, and the entire layout of the conversation about what should be feared and what should be revered
mm-hmm.
has fallen by the wayside, right? Satan was on the team, guys. I can't believe these young folk. I'm talking to a young dude the other day, and I'm like, you know Satan was on the team. He's like, no, Satan was always against Jesus. No, Satan was on the team. Satan had good stats, right? Satan was putting up numbers with Jesus, right? And then he got cut from the team. And he just didn't go to the G League. He said, I'm starting my own.
Start his own.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Y'all better pay attention, man. He walks with me and he talks. Let's go to break, man. You listen to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio. He tells me I am his own.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
What was that?
Wow. That was me.
Oh, God.
That was me, y'all. Who is that, Stanley?
I'm not sure, but it's very soothing. Be
to God. Welcome back to the Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh, and learn.
That is, hold on, Stanley, don't tell me. Passing over. Hallelujah. Let me tell you who that is. That's 1959.
I don't know.
That might be the Caravan. That might be the Caravan. The Caravan was Shirley Caesar, Dolores Barrett Campbell, Albertina Walker.
Oh, wow, you're good.
Come on, baby boy. I'll do this for real. Holly Holliver!
Wow.
The Caravan from the summer of 59 released.
The Caravan.
Probably at that point on Chess Records. Thank you so much, everybody.
Well,
you know, I'm a savant when it comes to nonsense. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Let me just say, where we're going with this story is we like to present conversation to make you think, but again, always remember that we believe there's laughter in all our conversations. Mm-hmm. The motto of the show is
listen, laugh, and learn.
And we believe that, and we will always believe that, because even in the most difficult times, I think we have to keep ourselves kind of moving. In the break, Dr. Elmore Lowry said something really heavy, and I want to come revisit this. Doc, tell us what you said in the break and why it's so important that we remember that.
Absolutely. And one of the things, very important not to play with God, because in my experience, is God is the only boss that will fire you and let you keep working. And before you know it, just to only tell you that depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity, and I never knew you. And because it's very important to have that salvation with God and have that relationship with him. A lot of people just have a relationship with the church, which is the building, and they don't have salvation. And that's what having a relationship with Christ. And so they do all these different things, and it leads to the most ungodly things that we could possibly think of. And we shouldn't be surprised by any of this, because the Bible warned us that these days will be coming. And these days are upon us now, but it's very important not to play with God. And no, I'm not saying that we all are perfect, but we do understand that we can't play with God, mm-hmm. because he will fire you and let you keep working.
Holly!
Somebody else to play with.
Holly, have you ever heard it expressed that way before?
Never. Ever. This is the first time, and that was one of the best. That was great.
I'm writing that down. He will fire you and let you keep working.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, man.
Wow.
What they do that at?
Wow.
They don't do that nowhere.
Wow. Nowhere. Man.
You know, it's funny, too, because I think we're living in a time where there's so many distractions, right? And this is not a religious show, but this is a religious show because radio is my ministry, right? I've been saying that for a long time. I got Holly and I first landed at an FM station that was owned by a bitch-ass pastor who fired us.
Oh, wow.
Total bitch-ass, scary-ass pastor whose daddy was friends with a rapist. Mm. And then he got mad at us because we were talking about the rapist that was currently incarcerated at the time at the jail. And he said, don't talk about him. That's my friend. But he was alleged to have raped women. Well, if you've alleged to have raped women just on the allegation.
And girls.
Girls, right. Yeah, just on the allegation, you need to come from up there. Come on from up there.
Yeah.
Come on from up there.
Get your coat, get your brim.
Come on from up there.
Get on out of
the gym. Yeah, right. The fact of the matter is, I think we have watched it all fall apart. So if you are attached to an institution that's about growth and development with your walk, whatever it may be, you may be Adventist or Christian or Muslim or whatever you choose. If you are attached to your walk and you're in a good place where you are growing in that conversation, stay there. Don't be moving all around because you're going to land somewhere that ain't going to be in line with your walk. Okay? And the problem is just find a good place to engage, guys. It's hard. D'Amico drive 45, 55, 65 minutes to church every Sunday because you found a place. And if they put a stripper pole in Calvary, she leaving there.
No.
Deuces.
You follow me?
Yeah, but you know.
Am I right?
But here's the thing,
that's
though.
What I'm telling
you. I think there's a difference between seeking the truth. I think if everybody is seeking the truth going to meet you at the door. Mm. But no matter what congregation, no matter what institution, no matter what denomination, if you're seeking the truth,
the
truth will meet you at the door. That's and we'll all end up on that narrow road. Mm-hmm. But if you just want to be entertained.
Well, but again, people go for different reasons. I went to the Seventh-day Adventist Church for a reason. Y'all remember?
But you was seeking a skirt. You wasn't seeking no skirt.
That girl was fine as hell. Holly, that girl was so fine. And she was, and everybody was like, man, you know she Adventist. No, she wasn't even Adventist. She was Jehovah's Witness. And I was like, man, they were like, you know, dude, she fine. And I was like, man, they said she Jehovah's Witness, dude. I'm like, whatever. I started going out with a man. And I was like, she was like, well, you know, I go to church.
Knocking on doors.
Man, Sunday morning, we were doing field work. I'm messing, waking people up. Jehovah's Witness, they looking at me like, Negro, if you don't get your black ass off my porch, okay?
What?
Kids was coming to the door talking about, my mama say she sleep. The fact of the matter is, I went to the Kingdom Hall to get with a girl. Mm. And I did that. I had no interest in the Kingdom Hall, nor did I have interest in the Jehovah's Witness.
I had interest in
Melanie, and she was gorgeous. And so I kept going to the Kingdom Hall Saturday morning, get up, go do field work, passing out Watchtower, and what was the other one? Watchtower and Awake. Remember?
Oh, wow.
I've read those in the bathroom.
And I was passing them out. And I realized that we will go to great odds to do certain things, right? Mm-hmm. We will go to great odds to fool ourselves. Mm-hmm. You ever did something to fool yourself and you realize at some point, who am I fooling?
What was I doing?
Right, okay. So I go to, and look, like you just say, mm-hmm. God will fire you. And let you keep working. Stay with me, y'all. I'm going
That's
somewhere.
Good.
Stay
That's
with me,
good.
Right? So I'm at the Kingdom Hall, and I ain't going there to get no word. I'm going.
That you're honest.
I'm not going there to get no word. I could care less, okay, what the people were talking about at the Kingdom Hall. Had no interest, right?
But you dressed up for it, too.
Man. I got up every Saturday morning bothering people. You know what I mean? And I was the dude, right? No, and I was the dude, seriously, in real life, right? I'm the dude who couldn't stand the Jehovah's Witness because I would cuss them out when they knock on my door. On a Saturday morning. So I'm sitting my black ass up in the Kingdom Hall, okay? And finally, it hit me. See, he knew what I was doing. I didn't know he knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So finally, you know, me and the girl go out, and 6 months in, I'm tired of getting up on Saturday morning, tired of ironing that same shirt. And finally we go and I'm hanging out with her and we start making out. And I was like, whew, damn, it took forever to get to this point, right? With Melanie, the whole Jehovah's Witness. And she didn't want to go all the way, right? She was like, I don't think I'm ready. But I was already happy enough to know that the direction was coming upon me. Hey, man, turn to your neighbor and say direction, right?
I'm not saying that.
I'm serious. It's real talk. So finally... I'm like, okay. So I go out with my boys. Shout out to my boy, Mikey and Steve and Big Glenn. And they was like, man, you still running after Melanie, the Jehovah's Witness? Because you know where we grew up, whatever you was or did, that's what you was, right? If you was, your name was Aaron and you was fat, you was Fat Aaron, right? So she was Melanie, the Jehovah's Witness, right? So I was like, yeah, man, I really like her. He was like, oh, did you get her some Hennessy? I was like, man, that girl Jehovah's Witness, she don't drink no Hennessy. And my boy Steve say, dog, get her some Hennessy and you good. And I was like, man, y'all always talking negative about people. That girl is a Jehovah's Witness. Man, that's why I don't like hanging out with y'all. Y'all see something negative in everybody. And my other boy say, dog, get us some Hennessy. I'm like, man. So fast forward a couple of nights later, we go out to dinner. We back at my place. And I was like, you ever drink? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, whoa. I've been doing
it. Oh, Lord. Like, you didn't make the switch.
No, listen, dude. And then I say, you drink? She was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I say, what you drink? She said, Hennessy. And I'm saying to my, wait the hell. I done wore out my shoes, bother people on Saturday morning, and all I had to do was get you some Hennessy. I said it to myself. Mm. And she said, yeah, but I know you don't drink, and you're such a good guy. I just didn't want to even bring that to you.
Mm.
I'm sorry, it's the liquor store right there. Oh, man, I went and got this girl some Hennessy.
You put it on her?
She put it on me.
What?
Oh, my goodness, man.
Oh, my goodness.
And I done put 6, 7, 8 months in bothering people.
Y'all done went through every scripture.
Yes, man. I was so mad at myself, man. I was, honestly, guys, I was mad at myself. But again, right, she thought I was a goofball, which I was, Holly, because I didn't see the signs, okay? Now, I know all the words to this song, Oh, Jehovah, Oh, Jehovah. My strength I sing with joy. Your praises on my stronghold, oh Jehovah.
Oh Jehovah, please stop
singing. Yeah, I went to the Kingdom Hall when I could have went to the liquor store. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, pay attention.
Oh God.
I went to the Kingdom Hall. For 7 months. So then I know y'all asked the question, well, Don, when you found out that all it took was Hennessy, what did you do? I bought more Hennessy. I never went back to the Kingdom Hall. It was a wrap with bothering people on Saturday morning.
Went to the ABC Hall.
I went to the ABC Hall. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's head to break. When we come back, you listen to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Shout out to Pat in Florilla, Alabama. We're going to dedicate this one to you, my friend Pat, man. Keep on checking us out, man. This is the great, the legendary Albertina Walker.
I just live from day to day.
Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. Again, for the people who just sent me messages, Doc said something in the break, Dr. Elmore Lowry. He said, I was chasing pleasure. And you're correct, my friend. But what happens when you chase pleasure?
It always leads to poverty. Mm-hmm. It causes you to become a counterfeit. Because you was a counterfeit in a fraud for 7 months.
He was counterfeit. Yes. That honey was counterfeit, Holly.
And a fraud.
Just for knocking pleasure. On my door for nothing.
That's so funny.
No, it's the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true, man.
I was a fraud.
Yeah.
And I was chasing pleasure. And it actually led to poverty, and my spirit was broken because she was trying to get me and I was trying to get her.
You know what I mean?
Y'all both got God.
We both got God, man. Yeah. I done fed her. I done took her to all Stem and I. Took her to, she probably took her to Christmas 3-4 times. Man, that 200, 400, 600. So I'm a grand in just feeding her, right? Then I took her to Forever 21 a couple of times. You know how much stuff you can buy with $200 at Forever 21? Everything. So I put a financial investment into this and a physical walking for blocks and blocks, waking people up in the morning, being called names. For this, only to find out. All I had to do was get a little hen, and I could get a little win.
Oh, God.
Won't he do it? Won't he will?
Oh, my goodness.
But I was taught a lesson. There was a lesson in all
What'd
this.
What'd you learn? Listen, laugh, and learn.
No,
what'd you learn?
No, listen, laugh, and learn. I learned that, like you just said, Doc, my mission was a flawed mission.
Mm-hmm.
And when your mission is flawed out the gate, think about it. If you shoot a rocket ship up into space,
mm-hmm.
it might get off the ground. But if it ain't 100%, it ain't going to make it. I got off the ground. I was moving towards something. But what was I really moving toward, right?
Right.
She thought I was a goofball that didn't know anything, so she was working me. I thought I could get her to go away from a commitment that I thought she had that she didn't even have.
Right.
Right? So the level of confusion when you don't pay attention will get you every time.
Absolutely.
So
and both of you was a fraud.
We both were fraud. Right? We both were fraud. No, for real. You know, the reality is, guys, in real life, we're living in a time where deception is at the highest point of all ever before. Deception. Sure. People are being fooled on every turn. You can't trust those who historically we've trusted. There were a time when a politician told you something, you believed it. Right?
Yeah.
There was integrity, especially at the church. You really believe what they said at the house of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
You can go to mass and trust the priest. You could go in the little, I don't know, Stedman, what's the little room y'all go in at the Catholic church and tell your business?
Yeah, just confessional.
Well, yeah, you can go in the confessional and tell the truth.
You know, it's funny. There's a young lady, a minister. Her name is Tiffany Montgomery. She says that you have to be fruit inspectors. So when you just make up in your mind that this is how you're going to, you know, flow, this is how you move, you inspect all fruit, no matter who it is, no matter what title, no matter what place, no matter what friend, family, we got to be fruit inspectors, like, because of what you just said, because deception is at an all-time high, and we were warned that it would be.
Absolutely.
We were warned that it would be. But I, quite frankly, Don, I like the exposure. I appreciate the exposure. I've said long time ago when I was younger, I used
to say hashtag fruit inspector.
Right? Fruit inspector, yes. Yeah. Long time ago, I used to say I would rather a KKK sit next to me with his whole gear on. That way, I know what I'm dealing with.
Right.
But if you got a different uniform on, and I don't really know that you the KKK, but you look like a regular person. I would rather, you know, I would prefer not to be in that situation. I would rather you put your whole gear on so I know exactly who and what I'm dealing with and I can move better.
Absolutely.
I totally agree. And I think we all should be fruit inspectors. I'm going to use that.
Tiffany Montgomery. Right, that's where I got that from.
We lost Holly Stedman and he's trying to get back.
The internet's shot.
It's gone?
Yeah.
Okay, it's coming back, Rosie. Hang tough. Well, give us a call, 321-339-1055.
Speaking of pole dancing, shout out to Mark. Got your message. No lab dance here.
Oh, yeah. No, he said lab dance.
Lab dance. Yeah, I don't know if that means lab dance. Sure, that had to be.
But if you're looking for a lab dance, you need to call Secure Lab Services, the mobile testing.
They
do mobile testing over at Secure Lab Services.
Okay, what kind of testing?
Damn, they test you for everything. Random tests. You just show up and get a test. I want to be tested. I want to be a fruit inspector test. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, so, but again.
That's mobile drug testing.
Yeah, they drug tests.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't need that. You don't need no drug test, bro.
No, I don't know.
Oh, look, there's so much to talk about today. Thank you so much. D'Amica wanted to come out of the gate. This is her day on Wednesdays here on the Don Miller Show. So she wanted to come out of the gate and talk about that. And I think it's always good to have a conversation about what people are seeing and just kind of throw it out there and engage. But again, thank you so much for bringing that conversation to the Don Miller Show. Those bogus ass people you follow on Sunday. Anyway.
What? What is that?
So there's a story we're going to talk about a 10-year-old kid. I don't know if, Stedman, you got that story about, about a 10-year-old kid, guys. Holly, hit us back, man. Come on, let's do the show. 10-year-old kid, right, that his 24-year-old teacher is hitting on this kid. And She hasn't been charged. She was sending him sexy pictures to his 10-year-old cell phone. First of all, here we go back to the parent. Here we go back. The parent says she was charging up his phone one day, and he sees the 24-year-old teacher on the 10-year-old.
Text messages.
Oh, no, the screensaver.
Oh, yeah, the screenshot,
the
yeah.
The teacher, the teacher's got the screensaver, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, what the hell is the teacher's on your screensaver? Right. A sexy picture of your teacher, man. And so, all right, okay, teacher screensaver.
Then she went to check
then
the
text. Then she started checking the text message, Elmore. Mm-hmm. And the teacher is texting the 10-year-old.
Talking about call me mommy.
Sending them pictures in the little outfit. And let me just ask the question, right? Because I'm going back to this whole parent thing, okay? I'm just going back to this parent thing.
Terrible. Right?
10-year-olds with cell phones, when they come home from school, you get the cell phone and it should go in the room with you, right? Mm-hmm. And you should check the cell phone every day when their child comes home from school. For there to be a text thread with a grown-ass woman on a 10-year-old's phone, and it seems like something's been going on for a minute here, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're a bad parent. You're a bad parent. Stedman, that's a bad parent, right? A long-ass text thread with a 24-year-old sending pictures to a 10-year-old. Then the 10-year-old tells the people when they go to the house, the DCFS or whatever people go to the house, that she touched his leg and all kind of nonsense. Listen to me. Here's another one of these mamas that we need to put a posse together and go whoop her ass.
A mother in Houston is facing charges for allegedly.
That's the wrong story, man. Okay, I know. Anyway, but 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if 10-year-olds should have cell phones. Can we start there?
No.
A 10-year-old with a cell phone?
Yeah, they don't know how to process information and things of that nature. And for a 24-year-old to be reaching out to a 10-year-old, I'm definitely questioning what are the parents doing? Mm-hmm. Because if someone send my son a message like that, I'm going to the school that day. As a matter of fact, I'm going to wait on them.
For real. You know?
But yeah, that's very disturbing.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my mind around, I don't know if a 10-year-old should have a cell phone because they're using it right now for cases of emergencies. There's so many school shootings, so I can kind of see why.
But if it's a school shooting, right?
Yeah, I agree. That maybe when they do come home, because now you're at home, you're with me, you don't need it. So maybe confiscating the phone when they get home. I don't know, but I don't know how long this had been going on. I don't know if it just started or if it had been months. But yeah, regulation needed to happen that day. The whole making videos of what's happening. What are you doing? Soon as you find out, listen, police, meet me at the school.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think about this, right? There's some bad parents out here. I know y'all think Don Miller called all parents bad, but I don't know. There's a lot. If your 10-year-old got a cell phone, you got to have cell phone protocol, right?
Right.
Yo, when that child come home, that phone be right there. I got to see this phone. Every night when you get through putting the kids to bed, problem is they don't put the kids to bed. The kids put the kids to bed. Kids go to bed when they go to bed. I remember I had to be in that room at about a certain time, okay?
How long are you there?
Huh?
All right, here we go.
So 10-year-old being texted by the teacher, sending pictures and all kind of nonsense. I don't understand how this went on for even a day.
Mm. Well, the teacher sending pictures of
her in a sexy outfit and texting the 10-year-old, right? And the mom.
Where was I at 10?
Oh, huh? And this is a female teacher and a little boy, right? And I put this on the mother, guys. I'm sorry. I put it on the mom. You come home first of all, you got a phone. You're 10, right? And I put this on the mom squarely, 100% on the mom. The mom dropped the ball because No child should have privacy at 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is privacy?
I agree with that.
You know what I mean? What's privacy for a 10-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. All your stuff is my stuff. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Literally.
Everything you got until you 18.
All your stuff is my stuff. That ain't your stuff. That's my stuff. Everything you got is mine,
mm-hmm.
including the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we believe in young people, children, having privacy. No, ain't no damn privacy. Where did we get that from? Where did we get the fact that ain't no damn privacy? Your stuff is my stuff. Your phone is my phone. Your clothes are my clothes. Mm-hmm. Stepman, you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
But again, here we go letting somebody else tell us or engage with us as to what is inappropriate and what your stuff is my stuff, son, daughter.
Gotta go.
And you go up to the school immediately and you handle this.
Right.
But now she wants the police to get involved when the parents should have been involved first. A text thread and the little boy, she telling the little boy all kind of ridiculous ass. Come on, man.
You say that one more time.
A text thread.
No, she wants
the cops. She's like, the police should do something. No, you should have did something with your ragged ass. No, for real. Listen to me. It just amazes me when we all want to call the authorities. Listen to this, guys. Listen to this.
But she went to plug in his phone to charge it, and that's when she discovered what was going on between her 10-year-old and a worker here at this daycare, the Youth Life Center, that had more than crossed the line. And she's uncovered that relationship that had been brewing for likely weeks.
They hugged for a lengthy period of time.
Gray Shawalu thought something was off with a newer worker here at Youth Life Center on Valley Hill Road, but when she plugged in her son's phone,
her face was his screensaver on the phone, and it was a picture that she had taken of herself.
And she started digging.
I went through his text messages because that was the first thing that I thought. And her name was saved in his phone as Mommy. There's a bunch of I love yous and what are you wearing?
She shared pictures of much of the concerning conversation between her son and the 24-year-old worker and pictures like this one.
That's not a picture that you send to a 10-year-old. That's a picture that you send to your man.
She said the worker bought her son clothes, shoes, and even a gold chain. And Grace said when investigators came to her apartment, a Department of Family and Children Services worker got her 10-year-old to reveal more.
He did say that this incident where she was rubbing his leg happened on the way back from the field trip.
We aren't using the worker's name or face because she is yet to be charged.
Stop. That's a horrible mother. She is a horrible mother because my 10-year-old ain't coming in the house with no shoes and clothes that I ain't by. Huh?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Huh, Holly?
Yeah.
Where you get them from? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
You got that's a whole interrogation.
Man, where you get them from? Then you gotta call the state to come in for the kid to tell the state that she rubbed his leg. Kid should have told you have a broken relationship with your child, broad. Broad. Because you ain't broad, mom. You ain't no broad. Mom. Yeah, she's a broad, man. Listen to me. If you are raising your child correctly, a 10-year-old, I've been 10. Everybody in this room been 10. Holly, you been 10?
Yeah, I've been 10.
I would have went home and told my mom right away. Huh?
I would.
I would have told my mom. At 10?
Straight up.
Now, at 14? Nah, probably not. But at 10, I'd have been scared.
Yeah, I'd have been scared, but I'd have had to see what happened. I'd have been like, so you going to touch me right there again? Oh.
Stepman, you'd have told your mama at 10.
I don't know. I think I'm with Holly on this one.
Yeah.
This is a bad parent, D'Amica. Mm. Drop us an open mic. Give us a call. Yeah. Am I wrong? That's a bad parent.
Was she 20? Well, when the parent found out, she did something right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
The kid had to tell the state that the lady touched him. He should have told his mama that.
No. A little boy kind of be like, hey, you know, when she touched me there, that felt pretty good. And it make you be like, well, let me see if she touched me again. if it do this. I mean, I can understand his curiosity.
But Holly, the kid came home with clothes and shoes. Mm-hmm. She had to see him. Yeah. Oh, she brought him. She had to see him.
She's been grooming him.
My mama would have said, "Where you get that from, boy? If you don't, I stole some salami from the A&P. Some salami, Oscar Mayer salami." She marched my black ass right up back to the A&P. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. That's my son. And he took this, and we don't steal in my house. We love the Lord. And I want to make sure and the white man at the A&P was like, "What kind of Negro is this?" You hear me? Wow. And she made me get that man that salami back. She said, no, hell no. You ain't getting ready to do this because you're going to end up in the Stateville Institution for inmates. Yeah. And she marched me on back to the house, and she said, go up there and clean yourself up so we can eat. And I went up there and got in the bathtub.
Oh, you ain't getting the tub, no, Don. Oh, you got sucker. Okay.
I got in the tub. I'm taking my bath. I'm like, whew. Oh, I thought I was going to get one. That door swang open. She had that belt. Wow. And a wet whooping did I get.
A wet whooping. Oh, my
God. I'm saying to you, ever had a wet whooping?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You ever had a wet whooping? Stephanie, ever had a wet whooping?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, wet whooping.
Yeah.
But again. And I learned at that moment, nothing comes into this house.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh? You don't bring nothing. So apparently this kid was coming home with stuff. She brought him clothes and shoes. No, my mom would have been like, "Baby, we all right. We don't need, baby, we good. Why is you buying my child some clothes and shoes?"
Absolutely. And that would have been a whole nother conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Those are what I call clues.
Something's going on here. Watch this. I'm gonna ask you this. Retired special agent. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That was your job. Mm-hmm. What do you see in this? You think the mom dropped the ball?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anytime a child come home, especially and they're not working, a 10-year-old, they're not working.
With some stuff.
And they come with some new stuff or some different stuff.
Yeah.
Then I need to know who is supplying this to my child.
Right.
Because a kid is not going to say, "Hey, I'm going to cut this little gravy train off because she's buying me clothes, she's buying me shoes, and God knows what else she bought him or doing with him."
Uh-huh.
Like, no, it's time to have a conversation. Because if you got something on new that I did not pay for, I need to know who bought it and why are you taking it.
Right.
Because I wasn't raised that way. Mm-hmm. We didn't go to our relative's house and ask for food.
No, yep. It was just you. Same go way. Here,
I don't care how hungry
we got
you
the
are.
Speech. We got the speech before we went.
Mm-hmm. Your mouth could be just the white as snow. You're so hungry. You're like, you better ask for nothing to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way
so
it was
true.
Raised.
Yeah.
Holly, remember the speech before you went over there? If you get over here and act, we used to go over my auntie's house. And she always had all kind of stuff that we didn't have, right? And I'd be like, "Damn, no, they got all kind of stuff that we don't have, right?" My auntie had a good, better job than my mama, right? We go over there, her refrigerator was—you couldn't close the door on that bitch. You know what I mean? Like, damn, man. And she, my mama's like, next. My mama said, "If she don't offer you nothing, don't you ask for nothing."
Mm.
You hear me? If she don't offer you nothing, and I used to be like, "Damn, I'm hoping my auntie offers me something." "Donnie, you want some Little Debbie?" "Yes, ma'am."
You've been waiting.
I've been waiting for Little Debbie since I got on my way over here.
Now, was this the auntie? Did she have like wrapped candies?
Oh, man, yes.
That's a butterscotch.
She had not a butter. She had a little bowl. She had a bowl.
But you couldn't take one.
No, you got to wait for it to offer me one. "Donnie, you want?" "Yes." Yes, auntie, yes. Yes.
She got that candy with the gel in the middle.
Yeah, man. That auntie, man, listen to me, man. My auntie, man, we go there, but I get that speech. I get that damn speech, man. Who among us ain't got that speech if you got a real parent?
Mm-hmm. Like,
two times you got that speech. Before you went to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
and before you went over somebody's house.
Right.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
My mama said, "I will drag your ass."
Man, she meant every word of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you
true.
Get me.
I got that message one time, and that was it. Because she didn't have to tell you no more. Mm-hmm. When she told you the one time, it was kind of like your part to tell your brother and your younger sister.
Everybody.
She told me,
y'all. Okay? I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. At the end of the day, we don't go back. This is bad parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, "Don Miller, you just beat up parents." Yeah, the hell I do. Sure do. Yep. And this mama, even though she upset now, she should have been upset a while ago. Mm. When that little boy first came home with them little Air Jordans that she didn't buy.
Mm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
When he but first came home.
They ain't tell a story because he might have hit him.
Man, you can't hide none again. You can't hide none.
In your house.
In my house. Hey, ain't no hiding spaces in my, huh?
Come on, Don. Now, you know, we had places you could put stuff to hide it.
Not no shoes. A Playboy book, yes. Okay? Not no shoes, no outfits. Yeah, when you going to wear it?
Because a 10-year-old don't do his own laundry.
Right. Holly, listen to me, man. This lady wasn't paying attention, right? We're going to go to break. We come back. I want to ask this question.
A 10-year-old don't do your own laundry.
No.
Y'all grew up different than me.
Well, okay.
I knew how to take the clothes to the laundromat, how many quarters to get, how much. I knew all. Bro, come on.
Hey, let's go to break and talk about Holly's growing up when we come back. You're listening to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Hey, wait a minute. What song is this? Welcome, welcome back
to the Don Miller Show. Give us a call, 321-339-1055 is the number to dial.
What's that clicking?
That's me snapping my finger.
Oh, damn. Your old ass finger still work.
Yeah, that's
like you was. Sound like you was blowing them. What the thing we was talking about yesterday?
What?
Holly, when he was blowing it yesterday, Holly, what's it called?
Oh, the flute. Yeah. Not the flute, the recorder. You did a, Holly, you did a fantastic impression
you did
of
a
the recorder.
Great recorder.
Yeah. Yo, funny.
Oh, hey, my cousin just sent me a message about when we used to come over their house. Shout out to my auntie, man. Yeah, we used to go over there. My mom would say, baby, let me tell you something. I get my stamps this week. Don't you go over there and embarrass us. I don't know if y'all know what stamps was.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Okay. But as soon as my auntie said a word, she looked at me, I started saying this. Yes. Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I never. You want these, little Debbie? You want these snacks? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My soul said yes.
Oh, my goodness. Can we get to the open mics? Oh, yeah, my goodness. Let's hear from the people. Let's hear from the people.
Don speaks and the sound of his voice makes me want...
Amika
to take over.
I know that song.
Hey, good morning, guys. Awesome from Tampa. Great show. Hey, that boy Holly needs to bring his ass back to Florida because in Atlanta, he doesn't do any work. He smokes before he gets on the air. He smokes during the air. And then right after he smokes, he don't read none of your emails. He doesn't read none of your articles. You never know what the hell is going on. You need to bring that boy back to Orlando.
Oh, man. They're just fell for that one. These guys are misrepresenting who Christians are. That's crazy. Depart from me. I know you're not. That's what they're going to hear if they don't change their ways. That's just misleading people. It's crazy, though. That's wild.
Hey, this is Brian for Walton Beach, Geoff's arch nemesis for D'Amica. I just love all the new words I've learned on this show, like bitch assness. But D'Amica's is probably my favorite now. Trans Christian. And I know a lot of them. Oh, so wow. Anyway, great show. Keep it up. Be do, be do.
So, Don, I'm with you on all this nonsense about this. RGT or RSTLN, whatever you want to call it. But you know what's going to happen? When they find the Ark of the Covenant on the Curse of Oak Island in Nova Scotia, that's when Jesus will return. And all these crazy people, they will perish because they're non-believers. Be-do-be-do.
I'll say it with you, Don Miller. Direction. Direction with an erection. I bet you that raging Cajun was screaming in your pants, man.
Oh, wow.
That Jehovah's Witness story is funny.
You know, that reminds me of my chameleon phase of my life. Man, if I wanted a girl and she told me she liked peanut butter sandwiches for breakfast, guess what? I like peanut butter sandwiches for breakfast. I would be whatever she needed me to be. And, yeah, that's funny, man.
Christianity was used as a tool of oppression in the late Roman era, and it should be treated accordingly. It's like handcuffs to the mind and spirit. The Bible.
10 years old, dude's a fool.
Good morning, everybody. It's Helen and Boynton. Y'all got me cracking up today, every day, but today too. Yeah, my child is 11-year-old boy. He would have definitely come home telling me about everything, let alone, no clothes. Anything. He comes home with a stupid little silly gummy bracelet. I'm like, where'd you get that? What's going on? Mm. Give me all the details. And regarding the church on your first segment, that's where all the white woke husbands go. Beedoo-beedoo.
She said the white woke husband.
You know, white woke husband, the WWH. I know some of them. W-W-H. They live in a bitch ass mindset, most of them.
Wow. That's new.
No, it ain't. That's the truth, man.
White woke husbands.
Let's get back to this raggedy ass mom, really.
Yeah.
Because I know people think that Don is just. Look, when you have a 10 year old child, your daily job is to sow into your child direction and purpose. Can we be grown folks about this one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look, one of my best friends in the studio just popped in. I love this dude. He was a football player before, but he's always been a good ass dude. My buddy Richie played at Georgia Tech. Hey man, he was a football coach, inner city football coach in Macon, Georgia. He's a gigantic ass white guy. Gigantic. This is a big ass dude. He's a
gigantic
offensive tackle. Wasn't you offensive tackle?
Defense.
Yeah, get on the microphone, dog. If you can't scared to call, you ain't gonna tell him where you come. Yeah, you play defense.
Yeah, I played defense.
You played, what'd you weigh when you played at Georgia Tech? Three what?
No, back then, big was about 250.
You was 250?
Yeah, maybe 240.
Yeah.
But then, Refrigerator Perry, remember him at Clemson?
Mm-hmm.
He was 300.
You played against him, right?
No.
Oh.
And
he don't look that old,
he was a big man back then. Mm. You know, offensive line probably averaged about 265, 270.
Not no more.
No.
You yeah, no.
You're playing D3.
So, Richie, yeah. D3. So, yeah, Richie's joining us. You know, I like to bring people that I learn from and I engage from to sit with me oftentimes. Richie is a representative for a company that's attached to Skip's Boots. He is the representative in this region of the country. For Corral Boots, I wear Corral. Skip's Boots carries the largest carry of Corral, right? Would you say?
In the southeast.
In the southeastern United States. So, again, Skip's Western Outfitters, you give them all the Corral boots, right?
That, yes,
they come
sir.
From you. Okay. Anyway, so, yeah. So, I want to tell a story that Richie told me. But let's get back to this mama real quick, right? What's that I'm hearing?
Okay. Oh, okay. He was listening to the.
Let me just say this real quick, guys. This mom who now wants the police to intervene because she just checked her son's phone weeks later and probably longer than that, to be honest, right? Mm-hmm. If this kid has gotten gifts from this grown-ass woman, 24-year-old, giving stuff to a 10-year-old, finally the mom checks the phone and she's, look, ain't no telling what else this kid's seen, right? Mm-hmm. As a 10-year-old, I was afraid of my shadow, right? Mm-hmm. I was never going to. Let me just say this. 10-year-old ass whoopings make a difference. Now, let me repeat that. 10-year-old ass whoopings change lives. You get to 12 and 13, and
you miss your window.
You miss your window, right? When I was getting whoopings at 10, I was trying to do everything to avoid.
Right.
Yes, am I right, Doc?
Yeah, that absolutely. Fear was instilled
right,
in you.
That 10-year-old ass whooping was the worst ass whooping. That 8 to 10-year-old ass whooping changed my life. No. Now you get 12, 13, because at 10, you don't block the belt. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah. The older you get, you start blocking the belt, Holly.
You start grabbing the belt.
You start grabbing the belt. Mm-hmm. So the ass whooping don't.
Because if you get them early, so if you get them at between that window, I say 2 to 10, you get them from 2 to 10, then you can progress to the look. Mm. But if you get outside that window of 10, the look not going to work.
Because by the time I got to the look, I knew better.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So this kid didn't have the look, and he definitely didn't get his ass whooped. Mm-hmm. Because if he's 10... engaging with a grown-ass woman like this, I'm willing to bet everything that he done seen his mama in some interesting scenarios.
Well, absolutely. And then, you can't discount the mental health factor here.
Right.
What makes this kid feel comfortable in this type of sexual relationship to where he think that it's okay not to tell his mother?
Mm.
Now, he did tell... but there was a pause and there was a hesitation there. And so now what you got to deal with now as a society is the mental health trauma that this individual is going to have to deal with, because I know plenty of adults can't handle a sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. And now this 10-year-old is getting ready to go into this type of relationship with the passing of spirits and things of that nature that they didn't have to deal with. And it's going to cause some level of sexual trauma moving forward.
You know, it's interesting you say that.
Sexual trauma that the mama is not going to deal with.
But the mama got sexual trauma. Y'all can't tell me this broad ain't. Come on. You got a 10. This is, we're talking about a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something about a 10-year-old. 10-year-old can't leave the block. Okay? This child should have a range. At 10, I had a range. If I crossed the street at 10, I had to say, Mom, can I go across the street? Right? I slept with the light on at 10.
Oh, wow.
Tell me about it.
No. Oh, wow.
Okay, everybody's so more mature than my 10-year-old ass. I slept with the light on. I slept with the light on at 10 years old. There are so many things at 10 years. This kid done heard her say something. He's seen something. He's been exposed to even engage.
What you're saying is his innocence was already violated before the grown woman.
Let me just say something. I don't know who in the text thread, because they didn't say, asked who what you wearing. But if you ask the 10-year-old what they wearing, I got on my Spider-Man underwear. Right? No, right? Yeah. So who asked who what they're wearing? This 10-year-old is not a normal 10-year-old. Right. Let's be clear. This 10-year-old is texting in the middle of the night a grown-ass woman, and now you surprised that your child is up in the middle of the night, ain't no cell phones in the bedroom, ask Nathaniel Miller. Huh? Ain't no cell phones? Give me that damn phone. How the dare you even have a phone at 10? I'm checking everything at 10. I'm checking everything because you are the sole protector of your child. Bet you this is a single mom. $10 is a single mom. Anybody in the studio want to bet me that's a single mama?
Yeah, I would.
Okay? It's a single mama who is focused on some other stuff and gave the kid a phone to be his parent. Here you go. Take this. This is your parent. Huh? And now you want to call the police because you done sent your kid to a program with a pedophile female. They exist as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Mr. Police Officer, Mr. Federal, Mr. Agent. Female pedophiles exist as you as well, right?
Probably the worst kind. In terms of, especially if the child is looking for some type of motherly care.
Boom.
And
she told him to call her what?
Mommy.
In the phone, she was mommy.
Well. And so now, you know, that psychological piece is just, you know, because every kid wants to cleave to their mother. That's especially boys.
Mm-hmm.
But now this has been a perverted relationship that we all have to deal with in society. We don't know what.
I tell you what we need to do. We need to go scoop up the mama and take her ride with the damn pedophile chick.
Scoop up.
Scoop up too, Holly. Tell me if I'm wrong, Holly. We got to go get the mama too. Get
community
your ass off the TV.
Talking about intervention.
You call News 6 at 6. To tell you need to go right to come and get her ass too, because
I'd like to see everything, you know, find out everything that happened. It's a lot more.
We sent it to you. Go read it. Ain't no more to the story. The story is the mom dropped the ball. There's no way there should be a text thread with a 10-year-old and you don't know about it.
Yeah, but then, too, you got to look at the totality of the information that is we're actually looking at. We don't know. I mean, this she could be a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been abused. We don't. A lot of facts are just not there.
She could be a single mama.
She could be a single mother. She could work
two jobs.
She could be working three jobs in this economy.
Yeah. Yep, a lot of them are.
You don't really know.
But you do know she could check the phone at night.
Yeah, she could do that.
Okay.
But sometimes, like I said,
some things you just hope
there's a lot of circumstances there that we don't have a lot of information on. And you don't, and you know, because Mike Tyson once said, best thing I ever heard anybody say, we all got a game plan until we get punched in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And once you get punched in the mouth with life, you know, like I said, you could be going through all types of stuff. Then everything changed.
So I was an overzealous parent then, I think, because I was on it. There was no secret. And I, you know what
and
I mean?
That might have been because of
your history.
Yeah.
I would say too, Holly, that family is not the same anymore. Because I come from a single parent home as well. My mom worked two jobs. If it were today, it probably would have been three jobs. Mm-hmm. But my grandparents were there.
Mm-hmm.
Like my grandparents were the watchdogs. Like they was on everything. But you don't see that kind. In my opinion, you don't see that type of, you know, family coming to the aid of, you know, other family members. Now you see the attitude, stay out of my business kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's different now. What would you say, Holly? You guys are a little older than I am.
But you're definitely right. You're definitely right. Kids have changed. I mean, the way I grew up and the way you grew up were totally different. We were responsible for our siblings. I had a younger brother and younger sister, and it was my responsibility to make sure they was all right. It was unsaid. It wasn't like, oh, you make sure you take your sister and brother them today. No, it was just your job. Your brother and your sister that were younger than you. That I had an older sister who her responsibility was me.
But and you know what's interesting, guys? I guess you guys make a lot of sense because right now you have 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds having sex.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when the first one of my friends had sex.
Go hunch.
He was like 13, and he came back and told us he had sex. And we was like,
huh?
Tell us about it.
You took your thing.
We was sitting there like, tell us. And he was like, he was giving us detail for detail. And I was like, for real? He was like, yeah. And then I was like, then what happened, right? And this was like 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like they getting busy.
Oh, Don, when I was the director of a YMCA in Mississippi, we had a 10-year-old.
In Jackson.
Dr. Elmo. Yeah, we had a 10-year-old that was in my group. And this little girl was raised by a single mother, but she was being exposed to strippers and, you know, that kind of, you know, interaction. And this little girl knew more about sex than my grown self. Like, when you had a conversation with her, your mouth would drop at the things that she was aware of. And she was very comfortable sitting on the male counselor's lap. Mm-hmm. Like when you watch how she would interact with the male, even then when I was maybe in my 20s.
My mom was a stripper?
Yes. And so even then you could see how she was interacting with the male counselors that it was not
right.
It was not right. She was exposed to stuff that she shouldn't have been exposed to at that age.
Right.
And that was then. I can only imagine now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine just being there with the, seeing him touching the little girl, something like that. That don't sound right.
You know, it's interesting too, but I think, you know, when you look at where we are today and the level of exposure through cell phones and TVs and laptops and then the narrative, of course.
It's so accessible
right
now.
The narrative, the LGBT narrative and books in fifth grade and fourth grade, it's a problem. And, but I still have to say, you know, as a parent, our first job, guys,
first
I get it.
First line of defense is the parent.
The parent, the first job, I get it. You can work two, three. My mama was out here with more than one child hustling, right? Trying to get it, working her butt off. But wasn't nothing nefarious going to happen. Mm. Okay. And I remember my mama used to, man, what? But again, these children are friends with their parents now. We were never friends with our parents. Come on. You know what I mean? Richard, you ever been friends with your parents?
Oh, no.
Huh? Were you friends?
My parents drew that line.
Huh?
I knew better.
Were you friends, Elmore? Come on. Friends?
Not even close.
Right. Okay? No. They're friends with their parents. I know young people call their mama by their first name.
I do, too.
I was at an event one time, and this little 12-year-old was calling her mama by her first name, and I was like, where y'all do that at? But again, this was about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The 12-year-old now, she's 24. She's on her fifth kid. And I saw it coming. And Holly, we're not on the line, I tell you who I'm talking. Holly, think back. You'll know who I'm talking about. This kid called her mom by her first name. The mom was okay with it. And she had talked back to her. And now she's on her fifth kid.
I ain't having it.
No, no. But again, the problem is, I get it. People want to come to the defense of this mom. We don't know all the details. The fact of the matter is, if there's a text thread on a 10-year-old's phone that you're paying for, mm-hmm. first of all, they have apps, guys. Mm. Anybody know about these apps?
Yeah.
Any text your child get, you can get to?
Yeah.
You hear me, Holly?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
She should be getting any text the 10-year-old get. If it ain't, she should get the same text.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she ain't paying attention, y'all. I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry. Lock her ass up, too. When we come back, I'll tell you how bad it is. It's some raggedy-ass mamas out here. They need to, every time somebody get locked up for something that a child was exposed to, and you go investigate the parent, I think many of these parents will be paying attention. The problem is, you want to blame everybody else.
Mm.
But let's start.
But, you know, and sometimes it's kind of really unfortunate for the mother, mm-hmm. because the mother is going to always be the blame for it because she's raising the child. But right. we have to include the father in there, too. Where is the father to where Absolutely. He can have a relationship with his son,
mm-hmm.
to where he can teach and coach some of these things? But the one that's always raising the child is going to take all of the blame.
We got to run the break. You're listening to the Don Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
I need Tamika's fingerprint in my life, like every day in my life. Tamika Page, fingerprint. Hey, thank you so much, everybody. Welcome back. Coming up 2 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Florida Man Radio, my dude, my friend Shannon Burke from 2 to 6, followed by Jesse Kelly. In the morning, Bubba the Love Sponge, all of us right here. Kicking ass in Central Florida, kicking ass in the Panhandle, kicking ass in Ocala. The Don Miller Show, the Shannon Burke Show, Bubba the Love Sponge, local and live, unafraid and what else?
Unfiltered.
Unfiltered right here on the damn Don Miller Show. Hey, again, thank you so much, everybody. We're going to turn the corner. We just love having a conversation, guys. Shout out to my boy, well, my friend, he's listening, man. Love you so much, BP. BP's listening to the show, Tamika. Say hey to BP.
Hey. BP.
You know who BP is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Holly, BP listen to the show, man. He driving his car.
I have no idea who BP is.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do. The chief. Who would BP, the chief, be?
The chief, BP. Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's okay. Listening to the show. Thank you so much, man. Again, feel free to jump in. 321-339-1055, the number to dial. Shout out to my friends in Fort Walton Beach who just sent me a message that they love us, and we will be coming to Fort Walton Beach and Destin soon. We going to rent a Buick. Me, Holly, D'Amica, Stedman, and whoever else can ride with us. Or we can borrow, listen to this, damn, the Corral Boots motorhome.
Borrow?
Motorhome. You got that motorhome, don't you? Can I use your motorhome?
Let's get something straight. That's the Richie Popkin motorhome. That ain't the Corral Boots.
I know. I'm just messing with you.
I'll point that right to the Panhandle, but guess what? We all need to break out the collection plate.
I hear you.
6 miles to a gallon.
Are you kidding me?
All friend.
That thing gets 6 miles to a gallon.
Oh, yeah, but it's like my wife. Remember them excursions?
Yeah.
My wife, she had a minivan, but she couldn't have a minivan because... You know, that's beneath her.
Right.
And that thing got 27 miles to a gallon, but it only had a 16-gallon tank.
Right. Mm. So you get 6 miles to a gallon? Yeah.
Well, we got that excursion.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's a 55-gallon tank.
Yeah.
And my wife, in her thinking, the excursion got better gas mileage because she only had to fill it up once a month. But she had to fill up, she had to fill up that minivan twice.
Well, thank you so much. Richie, a good friend of the show, is in here today with us having a good time. D'Amico, you had something you want to turn to real quick. What was it again?
No, you sent me the Biden student loan.
That was a week ago.
No, it was not.
Yes, it actually was.
It was not.
When was it?
It was last night.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't read it. I must have been drunk.
But she
was, I was drunk.
It was last night. He wrong for that, Holly.
Oh, wow.
No, really?
Literally last night.
Oh, really? Wow.
Okay, again, feel free to jump in. There's just so much going on.
And then here. He said tomorrow.
Okay, good point.
He's so wrong.
But Holly, you don't even read what I send you. Just like the open mic said, Holly just be sitting there like, all right.
Mm-hmm. You're so funny, man.
No. Again, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. It's just amazing when you sit around with your friends. This is that kind of radio. LP. We'll be back in the studio eventually. LP, come on, man. We love you so much, man.
Yeah, he all right. He good, though, right?
Yeah, he just dropped 19 open mics in a row. And I told him, you can't be dropping 19 open mics, man. He's lonely out in the parking lot right now in the Buick, just sitting around looking up at the radio station talking about, I work over there.
Oh, wow.
I work over there at that radio station right over there with D'Amica Page.
Mm-mm. Oh, wow.
Go ahead. Speaking of who rearing these kids and who's raising, what's his name? The guy that came on, the comedian that came on with us?
John.
TK or?
TK Kirkland.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, he has this expression, who raised you, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So since we're talking about kids and parents, I wanted to talk about the story you sent me, Don, about the young girl at Indiana State University.
Oh, wow.
Because I want to know who's raising her.
Okay.
Do we have that clip?
Yeah, we got it. But let me just lay this out.
Okay. Lay it out.
Because this is a conversation I was kind of a little confused about playing because of my thoughts. A young lady by the name of Asa Blanton. I don't know if you guys seen this. I'm glad you're in the studio for this, Richie. And Doc, I want us to take a moment on this because so often we come across situations where I like to go to the base of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Race has become such a major talking point in America today. And I'm fine with it because I want people to be able to openly discuss race. I think you can't move past it if you don't talk about it. You can't move past it if you don't understand it. And oftentimes when I see on television the people that are discussing race, especially the type of black people that they put out here, don't even understand black people like me or you, D'Amico, or Doc, right? I'm watching this guy from Harvard who's talking about his long-term family wealth and get your monkey ass off the TV and let me talk to somebody who know people. You follow me? But this is who they want to, this is who they push out there to have these conversations. Are there races in America? Absolutely. But where do they come from? And why in 2024 are there still people who feel comfortable saying certain things when you know the cancel culture is at the level it's at? You are quicker to be canceled by taking a shot at a person in the LGBT community than going hard on the racial conversation. So let me just say this. So here's a young lady, Asa Blanton, Indiana State University nursing student,
mm-hmm.
who's talking about Beyonce's new album. And it's a country album. I don't like it. I don't like it at all because I'm a country music. I love country music. I don't like it, okay? We play country music on this station. We all enjoy country music, but I don't like it. I think Beyonce's good in that other genre.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not for me. You buy what you buy. You listen to what you listen to. But Asa Blanton went live on a video recently and expressed her thoughts on being country and being black. Listen to this.
But if you're black, you're not country. I don't care. And I wish I meant that in the nicest way. But, I know you were raised in the country, or your grandparents were, I guess, your great-granny and grandpas, but they was picking, okay? They wasn't planting. Just keep that in mind. They wasn't making money. They was getting sold for money.
Okay. They were picking. They wasn't planting. If you're black, you raised in a country, you ain't country. Your great-grandparents were picking, not planting, and they wasn't making money. They were being sold for money. So there's an outcry all over the country for this young lady, Asa Blend, Indiana State University nursing student, to be kicked out of school for her remarks that you ain't country. You were picking, not planting. You were sold for money, not making money. And everybody's saying Indiana State University should put her out. And I just want to know your thoughts around the room on this, Holly.
Well, first of all, it's Indiana University. And if anyone that knows the history of Indiana and the Ku Klux Klan, that it is very prominent in those areas. And I think that some of the influences may be prominent as far as the way the thought patterns go for people that are in Indiana. Not to say that everybody in Indiana is racist or anything like that, but I'm saying it has a history. The state has a history. And I don't know exactly what she said, because it was kind of
She pretty much said she was talking about the Beyonce
album. If you're black, you can't be country.
You
can't do country music.
I'm like, what do you? How do you say that? You can't say. Come on, man. Okay. I mean, sometimes people are just so. It's my way or no way, and I'm like, come on, man. You can be country and be any nationality.
Right.
It's just what you like. If it's what you like, some country music I like, some country music I don't like. You know, it's not, but she, first of all, where is her relevancy? Who cares what she thinks? And if she does, let her take it.
Okay, D'Amico.
I actually agree with Holly. Okay, she was a student at Indiana State University.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She went on social media. She expressed her thoughts about Beyonce's country music song, which I don't like as either. I just don't like Beyonce, period, as an artist. Mm-hmm. Okay, next.
Right.
Exactly. Be gone.
Go ahead, Doc. I think we're all probably in agreement that we don't like
Beyonce's right. Absolutely.
Country music. Right. But the thing, too, is in this day and time, social media has made this world so small,
mm-hmm.
and so you can reach a large crowd of people. What she said, I mean, is it racist? I don't think she have any power to even support anything.
I think it's ignorant.
That's
exactly what it is.
At the best, and I think she's winning right now because
she's getting attention.
She want people to do what we're doing now, talking about her silly, her
ignorance
statement. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even give her any more of my time.
I don't even know who she is. I mean, so it's like
just a student, at the university.
But again, Richie, tell me your thoughts on this. Richie, you grew up rural. You grew up pretty rural. You taught in an inner city school. You were beloved coach in an inner city school. You're a white guy whose family is a history of a southern, deep south family. What did you hear in terms of, how did that come off to you?
I feel triggered right now.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I'm just kidding. No, go ahead. I think mm-hmm. what came to my mind was, is that with it being Indiana State University,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and not Indiana,
right.
is it came across like me that maybe she was trying to defend, and I'll tell you what I mean. Mm-hmm. I think she was trying to. She's not one of us.
First off, right.
First off, is that we talked about this right here, Don, mm-hmm. and my whole thing is just because you came. Mm-hmm. Can don't mean you should, and I think some people, and especially with some mm-hmm. women, they think that their entitledness allows them to say whatever they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So it came across both ways.
Mm-hmm.
If she meant what, like it said, that was racist as you know what. Mm-hmm. And I'm 100 that there's no place in me. I mean, in media, I'm a big First Amendment supporter, mm-hmm. and she can say it, but it's that whole thing. You scream fire in a crowded mm-hmm. theater mm-hmm. and somebody gets killed, mm-hmm. you're going to get in trouble. So if you're going to say it, you got to take responsibility for your actions. Now, as far as Beyonce, I'm just going to tell you this. She can do no wrong to me. She can sing whatever she wants to. And I'll listen to it. But I think now I don't want to and talk too long because I'm a guest, but the whole Beyonce thing in this song, she was the news media and the entertainment media hurt her from the get because, oh, if it doesn't reach number one, it's racist. It's racist. Before mm-hmm. the song even came out. Yeah. Beyonce is the greatest, and she needs to be the greatest country singer. And this song right here, if it's not number one, white people are racist. Well, I mean, it's not a real good song, but
no,
I sure like watching her dance.
But we use the race card on every turn.
Let me tell you, Mike.
And that's why I hate it so much.
This is my thoughts on Asa Blanton, right? Asa Blanton is ignorant, and ignorance is real. Mm-hmm. Ignorance.
But she's young.
But again, I don't think we cancel her. I think if there's a time where she can learn from
She don't have anything to be canceled. She's a student at school.
You got to listen. But she's a nursing student at a time when medical racism is real. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. Mm. Medical racism is real. I have been in the hospital where I've known nurses who have told me that they're working with racist nurses who don't or treat black patients or Hispanic patients different. This mm-hmm. is real. Yeah. Medical racism is a real thing, right? Yeah. Here's a young lady at a school who's going to school to be a nurse. If this is how she really feels and she is in a position of that level of responsibility in a hospital environment and she feels like this about people who don't look like her, she need to find another occupation.
That would be my deepest concern.
That's my concern, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going into a field where you have to take care of people no matter what color they are,
right?
In the middle of the night, mm-hmm. when you're tired, how hard are you going to work to save certain people if this is what you feel inside? If you feel this to such an, and you could be racist, you don't have to like black people. You don't have to like white people. There's some black people I don't like. There's some white people I really don't like, right? The point is, you are going into a profession, young lady. If you've attached yourself to this ideology this early on, where you're comfortable turning on a camera and saying these words, mm-hmm. from whence has she come? She got this from somewhere. Mm-hmm. She's too young.
Yeah, of course.
She's too young to have figured out this at this point. Yeah. So I'm concerned about her going in a position where she's going to be maybe placed in a scenario she's got to save somebody's life.
Mm. Right. Right.
You follow me, guys?
Yeah.
How do you hear what I'm saying? So the whole medical racism conversation, I didn't believe it was real until I talked to a doctor friend of mine who was an emergency room doctor. And in the South, and when he got out of medical school, and he said he was working, he's a Jewish guy, and doesn't have a Jewish surname, and he was working in a hospital, and he was working with a white nurse. Guy comes in with a gunshot wound, and she's like, tells the doctor, he's not probably going to make it, so we should be over here doing boom, boom, boom. And he's looking at her like, what do you mean? She's like, you know, they come in every night shot up. I'm just tired of saving them. And he looks at her like, huh? You know, that's how they are. And he goes and finds two more nurses. Mm-hmm. And the guy lives. But he goes to the chain of command at the Southern Hospital. And all the way up to the top, they pushed back on him. And he tells me this story that how many other people have came in like that, that they've looked the other way from. So it's real, Richie. Okay?
So, oh, it's very real.
Okay. So this young lady, based on her trajectory, what she wants to, maybe that ain't for you. Okay? There's some other jobs you can take and still not like black folk. We good with that. Okay? Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Can I ask a question to y'all, though? How much of it is the fact that we're talking about raising children? How much of it could be the fact of that now in this generation, they've never been told no, so they don't know what's right and wrong? Because that's the stupidest whatever I've ever heard, not ever heard on YouTube, because I watch it a lot. But for her to think that she could go on YouTube and say this and not
get repercussions,
have repercussions, there's something wrong with how she was either raised or wasn't raised.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I agree with that. Because I'm around mothers now that believe that you can't say no to your kid. Where did you get that from?
That's the only words I knew growing up was no.
Where did you get that from? And I agree. And so when you're growing up and you don't understand that there are some things that you are not, some lines you shouldn't be crossing, you can't have everything, there's a consequence to you. When you're not taught that, then you're a grown person thinking like that. Now you have to take care of somebody. Now you have to lead a department. Now you, what?
No, I just think.
I agree.
The young lady needs help. It is a real scenario that exists. There are people who.
So based on that, though, so now I'm thinking a little bit different. So based on that, if you are the department head and this is, a student, maybe a conversation is warranted now because of the profession, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's kind of somewhat similar to, I spent most of my career, most of my adult life in law enforcement with the Bureau. And once you identify that someone has some type of proclivity towards going towards a different race or whatever, and I know for the law enforcement piece, they're pretty much stripped out and they're done. Mm-hmm. I don't see where this person will make it in the nursing field because it is a first responder.
Now it's out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a first responder type position.
Yeah.
Can she hate people of color and perform her job? It'll be very difficult to say because she's going to bring that scrutiny on herself regardless because whether the person was going to be able to make it or not, but because she said this, that's a medical malpractice from anybody that she work on and something happened. So for her to go into that field will just be as the dumb as the comment that she made.
Yeah, you don't want to have a someone who's a loser. Basically, that's what she would be. A loser being my, I don't want you to be my doctor or my nurse. I want somebody that's like, we can save him. I want them to be thinking crazy that they could do something to make me feel better or be better. Yeah. I don't want someone that's just like, oh no, he black, let him go.
Yeah, because even if she doesn't actually say it, her energy is going to be completely different. And a person is going to feel that.
I mean, but just look at the liability from this. This video is captured. If she graduate and become a nurse, and no matter who she work on, and if there's any type of death or any type of maimment, I'm going to go right back to the video, and any hospital or any nursing agency would be a fool to bring her on because I'm telling you, she is a payday waiting to happen for somebody.
Wow. Yes, sir.
That's a whole nother level.
But listen, guys, in real life, okay, this is a bigger conversation, I think, than any of us understand. And I'll tell you why. She is not well, okay? And she's not well because she comes from some people who are not well. But you have to understand the mindset of these young people. And Stedman, I want you to play something. Stedman, I just sent you. There's a YouTuber, right, by the name of Eric Stone, who got her on the phone.
Oh, wow.
And this is how you know she's not well, right? I would be panicking if I slipped up. Now, there are people saying she had been drinking or yada, 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 right?
Well, she shouldn't have been on her.
There are some people out here, okay, who, she's not well. This young lady's not well. But we can't let the not well be a pass.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? But how bad do we shut her down? There are people who said other stuff. We didn't shut them down. There are people who've done some horrible things. We didn't shut them down. How, at what level do we shut Asa Blanton down? I definitely don't think she should be in the medical profession.
I agree.
Okay. You got to be careful. I want you to listen to this for a moment, and you tell me if you hear any level of oops in her conversation.
Yeah, hi. Is this Asa?
Who's calling?
Well, hello there. Now, I immediately brought up her viral video about the current situation and everything that's going on. Obviously, I know you're fully aware of it.
I really don't want to speak on this topic.
Oh, all of a sudden you don't want to speak now, huh? Don't worry. I'll get it out of you.
I understand that. I understand where you're coming from, but I just don't really feel like it's smart for me to comment on something without a lawyer present, because it's just going to continue to get twisted up.
What would get twisted up?
The story.
What about the story would get twisted?
The entire thing, just like everything else has gotten twisted so far. I just don't feel like I need to comment on it anymore, because it just keeps getting twisted, and I just don't feel the need to comment on it anymore.
Getting twisted. How was that? Because in this moment, you thought you were putting black people in their place. Why do you feel like black people can't do country music?
No comment.
Okay, let me ask you this. Since you don't want to comment on anything, do you feel like people are upset for a good reason?
Rightfully so, yeah.
Okay.
But like I said, people are upset for the wrong reason, because the story continues to get twisted up.
What?
So I'm not going to comment on the story anyway.
So let me get this straight. People were upset for the wrong reasons because you said that black people weren't country and that they were picking cotton, not making the money? Can you tell me what people have been trying to twist the story on?
I'm sorry, I just don't really want to comment
on it. Okay, stop it right here. No apology. No immediate, oops, I was wrong, blah, blah, blah. No comment? She ain't well, guys. That young lady's not well. No, I would have been like, man, I'm sorry. I was drunk. I had some dope in my system. Please, mister, don't fire me from my job.
Well, but from what I'm hearing, from what I heard, it doesn't sound like she is backtracking on what she's saying. It sounds like she's standing on what she said, but people are upset about the wrong thing in what she said. To me, that I don't hear any regret. I don't hear any backtracking or anything. Am I wrong?
What would you have liked to hear, Doc?
If she's going to try to bring some type of clarity as to what her message is, I would have just said, I would have took back some of the offensive things that she said about blacks. Mm-hmm. I would have went back on that, mm-hmm. Whether I was in a sober mind state or what. Or either I was just not said anything. Okay. I mean, because you've already said it, and you're saying it's getting twisted. What is twisted about what you said about there was picking and not planning, mm-hmm. and there was,
Let's run the break. When we come back, I think we have to be careful, because I think this young lady, she needs some help, mm-hmm. okay? And she's too young to even have this mindset. Mm-hmm. And if somebody don't help her, there's going to be something happen that it's going to be devastating to her and to everybody who cares about her. Let's run the break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're listening to The Don Miller Show.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh, and learn here on the Florida Man Radio Network. Give us a call if you want to join the lively art of conversation. 321-339-1055 is the number to dial, or you can head over to the Florida Man Radio app and hit that microphone. It says open mic, and you can leave us a 30-second open mic.
Because if you keep talking, Holly, what's going to happen?
You are cut off.
So 30 seconds, y'all.
When we went to break, Richie was saying something, and he said I should have played the clip of her
interview
on the phone before he commented. The point is, I did that purposely because what you said prior to hearing her changed after hearing her. Mm-hmm. And what happened after you heard her?
Well, I tried to give her a benefit of the doubt, but then when she made no excuses and mm-mm. all that, she's got holes in her sheets.
Oh, wow. Literally.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah, and she ain't going to Halloween as a ghost.
No, you know, she's not well. She is racist, I believe. I believe in her heart that she has disdain or look down upon people who may not be of her hue. Is that a problem for me? Probably not. Should she be kicked down the road? Yeah, definitely in the field she is pursuing, for sure. A friend of mine who's a nurse professor, nursing professor, just said there's a nursing shortage. Somebody will hire. I hope it's an all-white hospital. Mm. Okay? I hope it's a rural all-white hospital.
I wouldn't even say all-white hospital because if she files, she just files.
Okay, but again, her position as it relates to people who don't look like her is terrible, but I don't think she should be cast away. I just think we have to accept and live with the fact that there are people who just don't like other people for the basis of their skin color.
Okay? Country was built on that? Go
ahead. Okay. So I think the whole, look, the cancel culture and the canceling of people has become bigger and bigger over the last several years, right? We're getting rid of people, just canceling people, right? And again, Richie and I were hanging out the other day, and there were a table of black women and sitting next to us. Mm-hmm. And the aggressiveness that the black woman showed toward Richie, correct?
Yeah.
Was just amazing to me.
Aggressiveness
so,
is
let me tell you what happened. So I leave.
Not the good way.
I leave, right? No, not the good way. I leave, and Richie's telling me the story. She was talking about you people, mm-hmm. white people, and what the white people have done. Listen to me. There's a problem on both sides of this conversation, and the problem is people don't know how to have the conversation. And until you know how to have the conversation, you're going to embarrass yourself, and you may affect your growth. This young lady has hurt herself. Okay, this is gonna. The problem with that internet, guys, that thing gonna stay with you
forever.
Okay, that thing is like that's like herpes. Okay, it might fade away, but somebody gonna
have
an outbreak again. Like, damn, I thought I got rid of this.
It'll lay dormant for a little while. All you need is a flare up.
So the point is, we got to be careful. I think we should be teaching these young people, because me and Holly gonna be gone. You're teaching these young people some of this nonsense you're saying on this internet gonna come back to bite you in your butt.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that she's stuck with this. And she stuck with the phone call more than what she said. Mm-hmm. The phone call was like, okay, whatever, pretty much like, I'm good. I can go back to the farm. The problem is, I have seen this whole Karen scenario blow up in the last several years. This wasn't a Karen. Would you agree, Richie?
Absolutely.
This was a young woman with a race problem.
And the biggest problem is she didn't know she was being a racist.
That's the biggest problem.
That's usually the biggest problem for all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're black people with the same level of racial aggression. You know,
they got a little bit of different reason, kind of. You know, they've been victims for a long time.
But the people that's having the issue wasn't a victim.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that in the other people, we've been victims. We've been victims.
You know,
I mean, when was the last time you saw a water hose turned on some white people?
Well, so I'll say this way. I'll put it this way.
But there are Holly that people will say, you haven't seen a turn on a black person in 66 years.
Yeah, that.
You know what I mean?
Oh, 66 years out of 2024.
Okay, oh, yeah. I'm probably the youngest. It's my microphone. I'm probably the youngest in the room, but I don't understand why black people in America think they are the only ones who have endured racism or oppression. That is not exclusive to one race.
I don't think we think that. I think,
but that's how they act.
No, well, I think that we think that we've never been satisfied with what they've given us for doing that to us. The Indians got reservations. They got buildings. They got land. They got blah blah blah. Everybody's got something. When the Japanese were bombed Pearl Harbor, they came over. They got all kind of things to help them get going. There were a lot of things, but we got nothing. We got nothing that you could say that we got. They say, "Oh, we gave you freedom." Yeah, but it came with a whole lot of stuff with it. You know, it came with a lot of stuff with it. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we are not making any kind of progressions towards making this better. But the bottom line is that there's never been a specific thing that said, "Hey, look, you black folks, we clowned y'all for 250 years or whatever, so we're going to give you something for it."
But if you would listen to the tone of the people today in 2024, you would think that it's worse today than it was when my grandmother reared me. I was raised in my grandmother's household. She was like my mother. So you would think that things are worse today than it was when she actually endured that. My grandmother was born in 1919. So and my grandmother had a better perspective about life and a better attitude towards people than the black people of this generation who wasn't even there. Mm-hmm. And that baffles me. I'm sorry. That baffles me. I don't understand it.
I understand it.
And sometimes whenever you do look back and just out of human nature, if I watch someone else get beaten or shot like a dog or trampled on, the human side of you, your heart go out to those individuals. Even though I never experienced any type of slavery or anything like that, but when I see an innocent man trying to take care of his family, and then the next day you see him hung from a tree, then just within me, I'm like, oh, wow, that is absolutely. And so it creates a righteous indignation within you to think, oh, that person did not deserve that. And so you kind of wrestle with those things, even though you don't really experience it firsthand. But there is a thing that's called secondhand trauma. And you look at that and it causes and it triggers those things within you. I'm not saying go out here and, you know, try to get some type of revenge or some type of retaliation, but you could just talk about it and say, hey, you know what? Blacks, a lot of people went through a lot of different things.
A
lot of different races. But it's been documented that nothing was probably like what the blacks, the African Americans went through. Not trying to throw it. We, as a race, went through some stuff that's never even been mentioned.
On this soil.
Yes.
Okay, and let me just say this. I think I understand what Holly's saying, and I understand what you're saying, but I also think that we used to say this growing up in the hood, the underplay for the overlay, right? I think that the whole conversation about race is being pushed out there as a narrative to create this wedge, especially in a political climate, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I'll give you an example why. Black people are emotional and not informational, right? Black people go to the voting booth and vote every cycle against themselves and what they believe in the core of what they believe. Yes or no?
I think every cycle black people go to the polls and they vote from a place of trauma.
Okay, which goes back to secondhand trauma. And politicians know this.
No rationale, no
politicians know
logic,
this.
No nothing.
Politicians know this. Analysts know this. People who study this know this, right? Just going down to the basis of, and I've had this conversation a lot in the last several years on the radio and on the sidewalk. Who's the bigger racist, Donald Trump or Joe Biden? I've had this with black folk. a lot. Mm-hmm. I arrived at my position.
The tie.
There's no, no, it's not even close. It's not a tie, Holly. It's not even close. Is. Oh, what? You don't understand the definition of racism? Racism is based on the effect, power, correct?
Power.
The power to do what, Doc?
Create policies and laws that will suppress
right.
any class.
That's any class, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump never had that. He never had that. The most you can point to is say he didn't rent to certain people. Fine. Joe Biden, for 48 years, created policy that served as oppressive policy, Doc. You can study this. This is documented. So all of a sudden, the conversations, who's the bigger racist, has come up. That ain't even a conversation. I saw Donald Trump with black folk 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Donald Trump with black folk 40 years ago, hanging with black folk, flying around with Mike Tyson, with Muhammad Ali, 40 years ago. The first Negro I saw Joe Biden with was Barack Obama. But when you have these type of questions, it's amazing because the greatest, as Stephen Biko so eloquently said, as I started this show, the greatest weapon of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. How even have a conversation about who's the biggest racist when the person that had the power to affect change against or for the people who needed change the most? 1971, the guy from Delaware goes to the United States Senate at a time when the turn was happening, coming out of Jim Crow, civil rights movement, and immediately hits the gas and aligns himself with the most racist, segregationist senators in Washington, D.C. Yes or no?
Yep.
He wasn't a Southern gentleman. Joe Biden was an East Coast guy who went to D.C. as a guy from the Eastern Seaboard and immediately pivoted toward the most racist segregationist of all time, especially modern time, right?
Senator.
He had options. He had options. He could have aligned himself with the senators from the West Coast or the Midwest. No, nope, that didn't work for him. He immediately pivoted toward who? Robert Byrd. Stennis, all those guys. So for anybody to say who's the biggest racist, you're not educated, or you don't want to be educated, or your mind has been shifted through narrative. You can't even have a conversation.
What's the purpose of having? I mean, you racist? Are you racist? Racist?
Holly, you don't like Donald Trump. Let's be clear.
You're a liar. You're a liar. You're lying, Don. It ain't that I don't like Donald Trump.
Tim, point to the racism. Like point Trump. To the racism.
I like Donald
Trump. Do me a favor
Trump.
There. Point to the racism. Point to his most racist activities in his that we can point to.
Where did I say he was racist?
You said they're both racist. Holly, you just
never,
said that.
Yeah.
Holly, you just said that.
Can I?
No. Holly, you just said that. You said they're both racist.
Yeah.
If you can just point to Donald Trump's most racist, overwhelming racist moment that he affected the lives of millions of people through policy, point to it. That's all I'm asking. I'm asking anybody, because this whole race thing is driving us to this election cycle. This is what's getting ready to happen in this election cycle. Either a cop gonna kill a black guy that's unarmed. Oh, that ain't gonna work again.
Am I back?
Yeah. You back? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Either a cop going to kill a black guy that is unarmed, and they're going to create a, when you are in the position that the Democratic Party is in right now, either they're going to cancel the election. Let's go to the phones.
Hey, caller, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Rusty from Panama City.
Hey, man, hey, how you Rusty. Doing?
Hi, I just want to make a comment. This is not geared strictly towards Holly, but does does he not understand Donald Trump did more for the black colleges than any other president? They had to come to funding every year to redo their funding. Donald Trump said, let's do it 10 years. Let's make it easy on y'all where y'all don't have to keep jumping through these hoops. I mean, what part does it – why does he hate Trump so much?
It ain't that I hate Trump. It ain't that I hate Trump.
Okay.
He just he's just not the type of person that I think should be the president.
Yeah.
What kind of person? Tell us your type, Holly. Someone who's more even about doing things. Donald Trump is right now. He's so into what he's mad about.
But
he's mad about a lot of things right now. He's mad about being embarrassed. He doesn't have a right to be mad. He does. I'm not saying he doesn't have a right, but that doesn't make him a good president.
So thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, caller.
So here's the thing. I think the disconnect between Holly and myself and many of the other listeners. But I want to go back to something that Doc said as well that will kind of tie in. I think that when he alludes to he's not the type of person. So we've seen what even keel looks like. You know, we had President Obama, very charismatic, very eloquent in his speech, but he established some legislation that was really damaging, not just to the African American community, but to this country as a whole. And he initiated some legislation that is the reason why we see some of the things that we see now. Bill Clinton, very eloquent, very charismatic, but we see some legislation that they initiated that and we're seeing the consequences of that legislation today in terms of foreign trade, right? So you gave
so
a
you haven't seen that with any Republican?
Yes, absolutely.
Republican?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let's call those out.
But wait a minute. I have always had the position to not be locked into any party, to always be locked into policy. So it's never been, I've never been a proponent of going by somebody's personality. So you can be charismatic and even keel and still instill some legislation that is damaging to the people and the country. And that's what we're trying to make a distinction. And I'm not saying that Republicans that don't do it as well, but we have to lock in on what's important. When you vote for someone who is a legislator, they're there to establish legislation. That's what they're there for. It's not about their personality. What legislation
okay, so
are
has
they?
Donald Trump, what has Donald Trump been in legislation before?
Yes, and we've given you some examples of some things that he has implemented that have helped not only white people, black people, black schools, but the country as a whole. But you said something earlier about your definition of racism, and you alluded to policy. Can you say that again?
Well, you definitely, any time you start voting for people, and it's always a misunderstanding. I hate to say a misunderstanding, but sometimes we're just misinformed. You should never, not for me, I would never vote personality over policy because you want to make sure that you align your morals
right
based up on what someone can. Nowadays, you got to try to get as close as possible. Now,
it's not going
to
be 100%.
It's not going to be 100%. And I understand what Holly is saying. When I was a young kid getting ready to start my law enforcement career and I was applying to the FBI and the SBI and I was probably different places. And I finally had an opportunity to talk with them because I got turned down several times. And during that time, I had an opportunity to talk with the guy and I said, hey, I applied before, but why didn't I get hired then? He said, there's a difference between being qualified and being suitable for the job. He said, though you was qualified, like Donald Trump is qualified to be the president, but then you have to look at some of the, is he suitable based upon some of your personal actions or some of your different things in your life? So you have to just kind of wear all of those out. And so I kind of understand what Holly is saying, that he's probably been, charged, 90-something times? Or what have you. Can he still run the country is the question. Mm-hmm. Are those things going to stop him from hindering him from running the country? We'll know on Election Day. Mm-hmm. We'll know. Joe Biden, he may be qualified, but is he suitable?
Is he suitable?
But the difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, what we've been trying to explain. And then we got to go to a break, and then we'll be back. Mm-hmm. This is, the conversation is getting real good. You're listening to The Don Miller Show.
Oh. Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Welcome back to the Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh, and learn on the Florida Man Radio Network. Give us a call. 321-339-1055 is the number to dial. Great conversation going on. We want you to be a part of it. You can also head over to the Florida Man Radio app and hit that button that says open mic, and you can leave us a 30-second open mic, Don. And we have a lot of open mics to get to as well.
But again, I just want to get back to this conversation because I think this is a cycle where this type of conversation is really, really important, unlike any before. I've been on the radio for a few presidential cycles. Mm-hmm. At least four. And I recall back in 08 when I was on the radio for the presidential cycle, Barack Obama, I got blasted. And I ran into a lady after he was gone and her husband. And she said, I remember what you were saying, and we thought that you were an Uncle Tom bootlicker, but we've watched what has transpired in this country. It's a black couple. And, wow. I think having these type of conversations are so necessary right now. I don't like to hear anybody called something that can't be substantiated. I was called a bootlicking Uncle Tom. Couldn't be substantiated because whatever that means, it means. But when I talk about racism, something I've seen up close and personal, Tamika and I were in a place one night where we were called the N-word repeatedly. And we went to the manager, and the manager said, hey, I don't know what to tell you. Might want to just leave. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Until you found yourself in that situation, I don't think people understand. And I talk to black folk a lot. And I talk to white folk a lot. I probably do this more than any black person I know. Because most of the black people around me don't engage with people outside of their box like I do in real conversations. There is nothing worse than being called the N-word to your face. And I could do a poll today. And I would probably be hard-pressed to find a black person walking down the street today that's been called the N-word to their face. Now, listen to me. It is hurtful. It is really hurtful. And I wouldn't want anybody to feel this. But myself and this young lady in the studio were called it repeatedly in a restaurant one night.
And surrounded by them. It's one thing to just, you over there and you called.
They surrounded us.
They surrounded us like a mob.
And called us this in a restaurant in Sanford, Florida. And we left. We left.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Okay. But no, you got to listen, though. So that word, when you use that word, right? I'm out. I was out. Fine. But to call, I like to look at a person's history. Because it's easy to call people, white people, racist. Because it's easy. But I don't like it unless it can be substantiated. When I say that Joe Biden's a racist, I can point to many points in his history that's in writing, that's documented, his actions. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying when I say it, I can prove it. When I say it, I can play the tape of him at Robert Byrd's funeral. I could play the tape, okay, at him at Strom Thurmond's birthday party. Come on. So all I'm saying, if you're sitting in a 30-year standing lunch with guys who has had hatred for black people on the record in the state of Mississippi, the segregationist senator from Mississippi, Senator Thurman, and of course, Senator Byrd. Guys whose history, like not just they had a moment, not like this little white girl in Indiana. These guys built careers on the oppression of a whole race of people. Go look, I'm making this up. And then you got a guy in the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue today in America 2024 who called those three guys. I'm going to ask the white guy in the studio this. Listen to me. Richie, what did he call those three guys? His mentors and best friends. Yes or no? Sedman, can you turn his mic on? Huh? What did he call those guys?
If there was more people like them in this country, we would be a better place.
Who said that?
Joe Biden.
And he said it about Thurman,
yep.
Stennis, and Byrd.
Byrd.
I'm not making this up. If there were more people like them, it would be a better country. So y'all can kiss my ass on the Joe Biden racist conversation.
So, but,
total ass.
Dr. Elroy.
I'm sorry. I had a moment because I hate it when everybody is racist. He's a racist. She's a racist.
A couple
no,
of,
man.
To your point, when we asked you about the definition of racism, you mentioned the ability to use policy and legislation, right? Yeah. I think... So I like to tie in everything. We think it's just the black people in the U.S. So when I think about the ability to use legislation to oppress a race of people, I go all the way back to the Hebrew Jewish history when legislation, because that's all it was, kings and the governors, all of that language is still there. But policy was created to eradicate the Hebrew babies. All of them. All of the male babies, get rid of them. That was policy. Policy was created to get rid of all of the Israelites because they were seen to be. And that's all throughout history. You know, and all throughout history, there was always someone in legislation that would stand up for those people. Because once the law went under Hadassah, which is now also known as Esther, when there was legislation that was created to get rid of the Israelites, they couldn't go back and say, okay, can you undo it? But what was said is, let the Israelites arm themselves, bear arms to fight for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. That was all legislation to eradicate people. So I think that we take too lightly the ability, the power to create legislation, and we weigh that beside somebody's personality. No, when that person leaves that office, whether they were eloquent in their speech, none of that matters. When you created legislation that can eradicate people and cause damage to a country and a community and the people, that is more, it should have more value. It should have more weight. It should have more substance when it comes to our voting practices. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm not seeing, Dr. Elroy. Mm-hmm. All right.
Legislation, too, though, you talk about legislation that affect the African-American community in the United States. You got to look at Joe Biden, who's the president and a Democrat, was responsible for the largest incarceration of African-American men
Absolutely.
Since Reconstruction. He spearheaded the crime bill under Democrat Bill Clinton, and that crime bill probably is a big reason why today that you're seeing issues within communities where you have fatherless
homes. Absolutely, that is the consequence of policy. If you go look at the statistics between all of the countries, all the whole world, yep. right? Mm-hmm. If you look at those numbers, the United States, and I've said this before, the United States of America imprisoned more of its population than any other country world. That's because of policy and legislation that they have the ability to do that.
D'Amico, listen, real quick. This is very important because I think people get confused. Richie, you just said something really heavy, right? What you just said was when you look at what's happening in the fatherless home conversation in the black community, that entire situation is based on legislative action.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Let's be clear.
Exactly.
Okay. Would you concur, Doc?
Yeah.
Okay. It's based on the New Deal, the welfare conversation, right. Legislative action.
Legislative correct? Action.
And it's based on...
And the crime bills.
I need you to listen. And people say, well, Don Miller, you always say that. I guess sometimes you got to keep saying something when you got a bunch of ignorant-ass people who don't understand. I want you to listen to this.
Congress has passed over 230 new or expanded penalties for drug and criminal offenses in this United States. 230 new penalties. And these penalties range from an automatic 5 years in jail for any person caught with a rock of crack cocaine, a piece of crack cocaine as small as a quarter. I don't have a quarter with me, but if you visualize what one looks like, yeah, I do have a quarter. If you have a piece of crack cocaine no bigger than this quarter that I'm holding in my hand, $0.25, we passed a law through the leadership of Senator Thurman and myself and others, a law that says if you're caught with that, you go to jail for 5 years.
Okay.
Well, I will say this, and you know, in being former law enforcement, if you got a piece of crack cocaine the size of a quarter, then you're an addict. You're not a drug dealer. Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Yes.
That's the point.
And that's who we're arresting are the users.
Yes. That's why the number was so large, you right. guys. Listen to me. 700,000 people were incarcerated on bogus sentencing guidelines. Crack versus powder. They arrested more users than distributors. Go ahead, Richie.
Yeah, but I was going to say on that, the same amount of pure cocaine that if you had it, which was predominantly in white neighborhoods. That was a misdemeanor and probably just paid a fine. And
absolutely.
It was a misdemeanor.
Okay. So please understand legislation. So a quarter-sized piece of crack, people were going to jail.
For 5 years.
And not just going to jail. They were sweeping.
You get no probation. You get nothing other than 5 years in jail. Judge doesn't have a choice. Now, the fact of the matter is, we've gone from there all the way up to saying, under the leadership of Senator Thurman, and I'd like to suggest that I take some small credit for it, myself as well, and others, the presiding officer, that there is now a death penalty. And we passed it a couple years ago. If you are a major drug dealer involved in the trafficking of drugs and murder results in your activities, you go to death.
Listen to me, guys. Listen to me, guys. You hear me? Come on. This guy's your president. So and y'all, you Negroes and you ragged-ass, woke-ass whites who think this guy is okay and you want to talk about fatherless homes in the black community, come on. Richie, come on, man. Come on, I get it. Oh, where are the fathers? Well, oftentimes coming out of the New Deal and welfare. My mama was on welfare. She was on public assistance. And they would come by the house, D'Amica, and check, Doc, to see was there a man there.
Mm-hmm.
They would look in the closet and under the bed to see if there was a man. It was called a caseworker. And they was random as hell, just show up. And if there was a man or the remnants of a man living in that environment, guess what happened, D'Amica?
Food stamps got cut.
So please be careful when you talk about certain conversations if you don't know the history or the basis from whence they've come. I lost my buddy because he got addicted to crack. Not because he was selling crack. He got addicted to crack. He was partying with a lady one night. She said, hit this. And he hit it. And he got addicted and he lost his good-ass job at Xerox. He lost everything, lost his car. And he went to jail for stealing. And he got out of jail for stealing. He went back to jail for stealing. And finally, he had that third strike that was sponsored by the legislative action of this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
That third strike gave him 17 years. And in the 16th year of his 17th year, he died in Joliet Correctional Facility. Y'all gone with this nonsense, guys. And I can't stand more than anything else. My disdain is for a non-educated anybody to go to a microphone and not be able to address the basis of why we have found ourselves here today. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me about ain't no black daddies. There are no black daddies because of legislation. Richie, you grew up in an urban community, and you were a coach at an all-black school, and them kids loved you, didn't they?
Yeah.
And you knew the situation. You dropped them off at home in the projects, didn't you? Mm-hmm. And you understood the situation. So please be careful when we want to talk about who has affected change to on poor people in this country. It has been Joe Biden. I'm sorry. Y'all be mad at Trump and say I'm a Trumper. You can kiss my ass again on the Don Miller Show. The person who I can point to 40 pieces of legislation who have affected the black community has been Joe Biden. Secondly, very important, as the caller from the panhandle just stated, every year the funding for historically black colleges and universities lands on the president's desk. Every year. Nobody, not even Barack Hussein Obama, the great Negro from the North, thought it was important to stretch it out for 10 years so it wouldn't have to keep coming back and being re-upped even if economic hardship hit America. Donald Trump ain't have to do that. These Negroes ain't even vote for him. Let's be clear. Come on. Tell me if I'm wrong. Anybody think I'm making this up?
No.
These Negroes ain't vote for him. He didn't have to do that. So stop it if your ass ain't reading me. Leave me alone. Go ahead, D'Amico. I'm sorry. I'm for real, man. Let's listen to some open mics. I got to calm down.
Don, Holly, Stedman, King of the Isle and the Caucasus, the beautiful D'Amico Page. This is G off D'Amico's future husband. Hey, Brian in Fort Walton Beach, get your own queen. I challenge you to a duel, sir. I will defend her honor. Beedoo, beedoo.
Hey, guys, what this lady's saying about country music, isn't this just another despicable form of cultural appropriation? I hated it when they said that about white women can't wear Japanese dresses or something like that. I think it's all disgusting. And but isn't this the same cultural appropriation that the left normally embraces? So maybe they should pick one side or the other and stick with it.
Just real quick, Don, I wanted to second something that you said earlier, talking about being a kid, being 10, not having rights or privacy. It's like, listen, my parents came to me and they're like, listen, you're a child. You don't have rights. You have no rights. We own you. And that's the way it is till you're 18. Deal with it. And they kind of more or less said, I wish you would try to do something else. And that was that. That girl they had recorded on a phone call from her viral video saying that black people can't do country music. It's great that to hear somebody talk for a while. Just let them talk for a little bit, because you quickly can tell that she has no vocabulary. She's obviously a moron and doesn't really even know how to form a sentence properly. So she's an idiot. You know, next.
I just heard that clip that you guys played of this woman claiming that black people can't be country, but country's not a color, man. Country is a lifestyle. It's a geography. It's a profession. It's a food. It's music. It's an expression of being from the South, being from the countryside, and that doesn't have anything to do with color. And if you don't think chitlins and gizzards are country, then you're out of your mind.
Hello, Don, Holly, and D'Amico. I'm Kevin from Navarre. I think you need to revisit what D'Amico just said a few moments ago. That hits the nail on the head. These kids have no guidance. There's no boundaries. There's no accountability. So when they get to that adult stage, they're still living that dream, and that's what's destroying the fabric of this country to a point. Be-do, be-do.
Hey, you guys, love your show. KP here again. I have to hear time and time the true nature of oppression is sin born to man, or the sin that man inherited in the garden. They oppressed Jesus, of course, and they hung him on the cross. I'm grateful for whatever race God created, because God created the races. Man took that and has convoluted it.
I think that Donald Trump deserves to be upset about how a lot of America has treated him. That the average American have fell to what the media has brought them to believe about him, and it's wrong. And, you know, when people would open up their eyes and see the truth, then they might let some of it.
I think the issue here with the Donald Trump thing is when people are spouting out the reasons they don't want Trump in office, these reasons were created by the left. You get Democrats that are out to get him. For example, he's been charged 90-some times. Duh, it was a witch hunt out to get Trump. That's why he's been charged. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. You know, him being mad at other people and you think he's going to get revenge. Well, that's because they went after him. I mean, this is all created by the Dems.
We like to listen to, but all you want to talk about is racism and white people this, white people that. Every person I know says the same thing. I like the station, but I'm gonna have to tune out. Find something else to talk about.
Bye, bitch.
Hey, gang. I appreciate the subject matter you're talking about today. Now, maybe bring a little bit of humor in there to it. Isn't the word racist just constantly used incorrectly? Should be using the word like prejudice or bigot. Like, I'm sure I'd be called a prejudiced white man because I don't like to date fat, ugly women. Even though I might have a one or two in the family, it don't mean that I don't love them. It's just, hey, I like what I like.
I like that.
Not only is Donald Trump the only one that would put up with this crap, but you have to ask yourself, Holly, why he would put up with this crap. Why would he put up with this crap? Because he really cares. Because a billionaire would walk away and say, I had enough for what these people put me through. Because that's what your average and more than average person would say. Any millionaire would say that. But he didn't.
All right, thank you so much again for the open mics. Head over to the open mic in the App Store. Drop us an open mic. Let me just say something, guys. Listen to me. I have the conversations I want to have. You know why? Anybody know why? Because it's the Don Miller Show.
But can I ask
but
you?
No. Okay. I'm not through yet.
Oh, God.
I want you to listen to this. This is a 90th birthday party for the racist senator by the name of Strom Thurmond.
The committee, Strom has given his advice and consent on every judicial nominee from John Marshall to Clarence Thomas. And throughout the last decade, his Democrat counterpart on the committee has been Joe Biden. This friendship has surprised some. After all, Joe is young enough to be Strom's son. Come to think of it, who isn't young enough to be Strom's son?
Now, I'm not even going to play what he had to say because I'm going to turn the corner. But just go read, guys. I'm saying when you talk about who's a bigger anti-anybody, it's the guy who's there today. So stop it. I'm not going to go back and forth. And I just think we need to be fair if we're going to have the conversation. The rich guy may have rubbed people the wrong way, but most rich guys do, right? Most rich guys I know, most people don't know a lot of rich guys. Most of my friends, I'm the brokest friend that I have, okay? And that's a fact. And oftentimes they rub people the wrong way. No harm meant. We sit with a rich guy all the time, Richie. And he's an asshole, but we love him. Oh, yeah. Right? Okay? And he's listening to the show as we speak. But we love him.
Oh yeah.
He don't mean any harm. The fact is we have to be careful when we have this conversation. And to the gentleman who said bigot, okay, or prejudice, I'm prejudiced. Very much so. The point is, if you have the power to ruin people's lives, that changes the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to me. If you have the ability, through a stroke of a pen, to keep people oppressed or not allow them to grow or to achieve or even to vote after they've served their time. There are 4.6 million people right now who serve their time, nonviolent criminal offenders who can't go to the polling place, yet they're illegal immigrants walking right over the border that's going to participate in the next cycle. Anybody paying attention to that? That's all I'm saying. State of Illinois, a judge just signed a document that says illegal immigrants can carry weapons or can buy guns in that state. But a convicted felon who served his time for a nonviolent criminal offense can never own a firearm in that state or get a student loan in that state or rent an apartment that is tied to any level of HUD financing in that state. But all of these are allowed to someone who has walked, who has come into this country and not did the work to move towards citizenship in this country. They're two Americas, and they're two Americas because of people like the President of the United States has created and moved toward legislation coming off of civil rights movement as he attached himself, as Senator Dole just said, to a guy that was old enough to be his father. And he was mentored by Thurman and Stennis and Byrd. For whatever reason, this young 20-some-year-old senator attached himself to these guys. He did. And his legacy is garbage. And all of the hundreds of thousands of users who went to jail for crack cocaine, whose lives have been ruined, who came out and couldn't engage in the society, couldn't vote, couldn't rent an apartment, couldn't get a student loan. These people's lives were ruined because of addiction, not because of distribution of drugs. So you can't tell me anything about this conversation. And that's when I watch Hunter Biden dope fiend ass burn, burn, burn. I have no compassion. Let's go to break.
Today, back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Welcome back to the Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh,
I'm better,
and learn.
Y'all. I'm better now. I'm better. I'm better. But I want y'all to listen to this for a second.
I wish the way I was living could stop serving rocks, knowing the cops is hot when I'm on the block, and I wish my brother would have made bail so I won't have to travel 6 hours to see him in jail, and I wish that my grandmother wasn't sick or that we would just come up on some stacks and hit a lick, and I wish my homies wouldn't have to suffer when the streets get the upper hand on us and we lose.
Give us a call. 321-339-1055 is the number to dial, or you can head over to the Florida Man Radio app and leave a 30-second open mic. Another great way to join the lively art of Kim conversation.
Now, y'all know I have these moments on the radio, but if you have a real problem with me here on Florida Man Radio, call the management and tell them you want me to leave, okay? I'm just being honest with you. If you got a problem, I think they would take your phone calls and just call them and say he's doing too much and we want him off the radio so we can go back to being an all-white station. That ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen. They going to have to tote my ass out of here. That ain't going to happen. When you call Shane, he going to cuss you out. I want you to know that. Okay, you call him, he going to cuss you out. I'm just going to tell you right now. Thank you again, everybody, for joining us Monday through Friday right here at Florida Man Radio, the Don Miller Show. Coming up 2 p.m. Eastern Time, the Shannon Burke Radio Show. Shannon is followed by Jesse Kelly. And, of course, in the morning, Bubbler Love Sponge. Thank you so much. Our guest in the studio, he's not a guest, he's been here before, Dr. Elmore Lowry. He wrote a really good book, Making the Shift, Five Keys to Success. You can find Dr. Lowry's book on Amazon. He's a retired special agent. He's a professor. He's an educator and just one of the best people I know. Also, my buddy, Richie. Richie's in the studio. Richie and I spend a lot of time together. Richie travels every week. He's always somewhere. Just a good dude. He wasn't a good football player, but he's a good dude. He was an average football player. Oh, no, he couldn't go left.
Wow.
Holly, he couldn't go left, man. You watch the video. Watch the video. If they go left, it was a wrap.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much. And he just, they like, left, pull left. He's like, hey, where y'all going? Ain't nothing over there but a touchdown. Hey, can you turn his mic on, Stedman? Okay, again, listen, very important, guys. Let me just say this. I thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We talk about a lot of topics. Again, we had something else to talk about, didn't we, D'Amica?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, just didn't get to it somehow, okay? Well, and D'Amica going to blame me, of course, because every time she have these deep-ass conversations, we don't tend to get a chance to get to them. But we got to a lot of stuff today.
And so is it my fault again?
I'm waiting for D'Amica to say something. She just giggled.
Look. I'm not.
Did you bring the conversation up? Did you bring conversation?
Do what you do.
Did you bring conversation?
Don't do what you do.
No, but there's. I have triggers. We all got triggers. Richie, turn to the microphone. You got triggers?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me.
You say hell yeah. So let me tell you something. So Richie taught in an inner city school, right? And for a while, you were only black guy, white coach, right?
I had two of them.
Yeah. So Richie's telling me a story. He's in class one day, Holly, and he's teaching this young lady. Can you tell that story? This is the funniest story.
All right. So it was the first day of school, and we're in class. I taught history, and you're doing roll. So you're trying to get to know everybody. And I go, Valencia. Nobody answers. Valencia Renee? Still nobody answers. I go, Renee. Nobody answers. I says, does anybody know Valencia Renee Lester? And this little girl raises her hand. She says, I go by Michelle. I said, why do you go by Michelle? She says, because my mama really liked that name. And I'm like, well, why didn't she name you Michelle?
Wow.
Hey, Holly.
Gosh.
I don't know.
Y'all don't think our kids in trouble. We in trouble, bro.
We in deep doo-doo. You know, it's just hilarious. When he told me that story, he done called her first name, middle name, and last name.
And she ain't said that. I don't got nothing to do with me.
I don't know you, sir, Mr. Sir.
I identify as Michelle.
And that young lady is going to be a part of the labor force.
Michelle is. Wow. Unless it's Renee, ain't going to be Michelle.
Yeah, but it's probably going to be the labor force at McDonald's. I'm just saying.
It's just amazing. And you know what's funny? When you go into certain environments, you see up close and personal just how devastating it has become. He tells me the story also, Holly, that when he was a football coach, he'd take the kids home. And some kids lived on one end of town. The other kids lived on the other end of town. Tell that story. Listen to this, Holly. You're going to love this one.
So Macon, Georgia's Southwest High School. Fortunately, they were the Patriots because they were red, white, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take a group of kids to Alphabet City, which was
the project
in the north. You know, Alphabet City, A Street, B Street. You know the name. Well, that was where the Bloods were. So I'd always have my red shirt on. I joked with the kids about that. I would always have my red shirt on. And then I'd go back to school, pick up another group. We'd go to Bloomfield. Well, that's where the Crips were. So I'd put my blue jacket on there.
Wow.
And the kids used to think that was funny. They said, Coach Pocken, why you do that? I said, man, I'm for wherever I am.
I'm with you.
West side, east side, south side.
When in Rome.
That's right. The Romans.
I ain't getting shot.
Now, you know what's amazing, I think.
That's some good defense.
Enough of us don't understand the bases of these young people. And I just love people who care about them, who get up close and personal to them. So it's amazing when, again, I started out earlier saying, if you don't know how these kids are, they need us, guys. They really need us, Elmore. You know it. You're there. D'Amica, you know it. You're there, right? And it's amazing when I see the people that are speaking about the young people and what's going on with y'all don't even know them. When was the last time you sat down with one of them? They don't. But they, for some reason, these damn networks and went out and got these people who don't have any concept, Holly, of what's going on in these young people's heads. And it's amazing how many young people, and Coach, you know this, that I've talked to, young guy, 15, and he was clowning, and his mom, grandma asked me to talk to him. And he was like, Mr. Don, man, I hear what you're saying. He said, but I ain't going to live to be 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what?
Wow.
He's like, I ain't going to live to be 22, Mr. Don. I'm out here rolling. I ain't going to live to be 22. So I ain't even tripping. And I'm like, wow. And he was serious, Coach. You've heard it. He was serious. Elmore, you've heard it.
Wow.
And there are people who don't understand that they have given up already. They've thrown in the towel, D'Amica. These young folks have thrown in the towel. They're done. So when you see the fact that overwhelmingly, juveniles are being arrested for what we used to deem as grown folk crimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
a 15-year-old rob you, give them all your stuff, and they'll still shoot you.
Yeah.
Hmm? Back in the day, you get robbed, dude gonna flee. Get up out of there. Take your stuff and run. They still gonna shoot you, man, because they've given up and there's no outreach to them. And that's when I hear these people say certain things, and it rubs me the wrong way at a level that you don't understand, man. It's so many people speaking on behalf of something that they don't even have a clue about. And that, to me, is a problem. They have nowhere to go. They have nobody to talk to. And it's getting worse. When that kid told me, we sitting there, he tells me, I ain't going to live to be 21. I'm like, what are you talking about? He was like, the way I'm rolling, I'm watching my homies. He's like, I just lost 4 homies. I'm like, how old were your friends? 16, 14? I say, they dead? He said, no, they going to get life. They got life. Mm-hmm. They ain't dead. Mm-hmm. They got life. 16-year-old, 14-year-old. Wow. Home invasion, murder. Mm. I'm like, damn. I said, where the other ones at? Oh, they got shot and killed. They got killed. Go ahead, Rick.
I just wanted to say something, too, to my people. Mm-hmm. Quit pointing fingers at a certain group of people, because it's in our neighborhoods now. It's our people doing this. And to right. prove a point, look when you see it, not chain gang anymore, but look when you see the prisoners on the side of the road. It's more white people out there than there is black people now.
Yeah.
And that's what it's drugs, but mm-hmm. that's the same thing. So quit pointing and start looking around, and because even the prison populations
mm-hmm.
are starting to change.
Mm-hmm. It's just let's find out how we can help these young. Tamika, you spend a lot of time with those young kids mm-hmm. at FCA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that program is changing their lives.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. there's very little outreach in the church mm-hmm. anymore. Remember the church had programs? There was a program called Midnight Basketball back in the day that really worked. It was funded. It really worked. Holly, you remember Midnight Basketball?
My cousin, you're so funny you said that, but he ran it for years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a prominent situation because kids could go there and play basketball than to be in the streets clowning.
Stedman, you remember that?
That was beautiful.
Midnight Basketball.
Matter of fact, I might check with him on getting that going again.
There's no funding. They took the funding for it.
Well, we can figure that out.
You know, and it's just so when I talk about young kids and I see what's happening, and, you know, last weekend I turned off the TV, guys, and I didn't watch anything, and it was just beautiful. I was like, but then I got to turn it back on, and it all came back, and I started screaming at the TV again. But listen, I'm passionate about this. This is my ministry, to inform people, to engage people, and hopefully in the conversation when D'Amica and myself and we're sitting here having this conversation, and Holly, that maybe you can get some out of this conversation. We're not trying to create a problem. We're trying to create a conversation, for sure. The fact is, a lot of people don't have anywhere to go to have this conversation because we're so separated. We're so divided. They don't have anywhere to go to have this conversation. You know, I talked to a guy the other day, Holly, and he said, hey, man, interesting conversation. He said, hey, man, can I tell you something? I'm 47 years old, and this is the first time that I've had long-term conversations about real stuff with people that are not my race. And this is a black guy, and he's sitting at the table with me and some other guys. He was like, Don, I want to thank you for this, man. And one of the other guys who at the table, when he said this, was like, hey, I got to be honest with you. This first time for me, too. But we got to hear how other people are thinking and seeing mm-hmm. what's going on, man. We can't do this. We can't. We have to stop.
Right.
You know? And until we realize the value in engaging outside of our boxes, there's value in that. I see value in it. Doc, you see value in it.
Absolutely.
D'Amica?
Yeah.
You know? Right?
Absolutely.
I think until we see the value in stepping outside of our comfort zones and having difficult conversations, the conversations I'm having on the radio, I'm pretty sure there are not a bunch of people having them. Okay, so if y'all turn on tomorrow and I ain't here, that's because I had the wrong conversation.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just telling y'all right now. But the point I make is this. difficult conversations in a time like this are vital. Are vital. Calling people out, presenting information, presenting factual data is vital in this time period we're in. People getting ready to go vote in November. They got to make a hell of a decision because a lot of people don't like either one of them. Mm-hmm. But that ain't an option. You got to like somebody. You got to pick somebody. You can't stand down. You can't stand down and tell me you love this country. That's a damn for sure. Mm-hmm. Can't tell me you love America and don't vote. That don't work.
Right.
Right? That don't work for me. It might work for some people, but definitely don't work for Don Miller, because I believe we all have an obligation to engage in the process, especially at a time when so many people are disenfranchised, oftentimes by situations they've served their time for. We got to make up the difference, put a 4.5 million people who don't have a chance anymore that did something at 18 or 19 or 20.
I think we all have an obligation to the health of this country, not just to engage in the process, but engage in a healthy way, you know, align ourselves with people that are in alignment with our values, our principles, and in alignment with policy that is healthy for the people, that is healthy for the country, because we're seeing a lot of unhealthy policy take place, and we're seeing the country being weakened and weakened. And at some point, we have to shift how we think and shift how we engage so we can see some health in our country.
Well, again, thank you so much, D'Amica Page. I love you, sister. Holla!
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, listen, thank you so much, Dr. Lowry. Always, Richie, man, I love you, bro. Stay there. Well, we got to go. Coming up next, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, the Shannon Burke Radio Show, followed by Jesse Kelly. And in the morning, Bubba the Love Sponge, Florida Man Radio. Bye-bye.
I'm so high right now, y'all. I'm about to go to sleep on y'all, man.
Bill O'Reilly here. You are listening to the O'Reilly Update. Coming up next, the news with Mike Slater.
Thank you, Bill. It's Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. Here's what's happening today in America. Trump trial jurors. Speaker out. No cuts this year. But one speaker cut from graduation. That's all coming up. Then Bill's going to be here with your message of the day. But first, right now, seven jurors have been chosen for the New York Trump trial. There ultimately will be 12 with six alternates. Juror 1, the foreperson, is originally from Ireland. Juror 2 is a nurse. Juror 3, a corporate lawyer, not married, no children. Juror 4 said he finds Trump fascinating and mysterious, but did not indicate any strong feelings about his politics. Juror number 5, English teacher at a charter school, said they avoid political conversations and was not aware that Trump was facing other criminal cases. Juror 6, not married, no children, lives with three roommates in Chelsea. And juror number 7, married with two kids, living on the Upper East Side. All the potential jurors were asked where they get their news. They all said the New York Times, and not one of them that we know of said any conservative news outlet. Of course, that's why they asked that question, to try to weed out any potential Trump supporters. The most important thing to know about this trial is the judge donated money to the Biden campaign back in 2020 and also donated money to a group called the Progressive Turnout Project, and best of all, gave money to a group called Stop Republicans. And this is the man presiding over the court case about the Republican. Problems in the House. Marjorie Taylor Greene told Breitbart News that she is prepared to force the House Speaker Mike Johnson out of his position if he does not willingly resign. She said his speakership is not safe. As a matter of fact, it's over. He's just the only one who hasn't acknowledged it yet. The straw that broke the camel's back is $48 billion for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel, and nothing in his latest spending bills for the border. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said it's unlikely that the Fed will cut rates this year. Said recent data has clearly not given us greater confidence that inflation is coming under control. He said if higher inflation does persist,
we can maintain the current level of interest rates for as long as needed. Back on March 7th, he told a Senate committee that the Fed was not far from gaining the confidence it needed to cut rates. But inflation has gotten worse, and now we're far away again. USC, University of Southern California, canceled the speech of the valedictorian this year. She's a Muslim. This is going to be a whole thing. Get ready for it. They said they canceled it out of safety concerns for her, without any evidence as to what those concerns are. Jewish groups on campus spoke out against her anti-Semitic posts online. I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. The great Bill O'Reilly, he has your message of the day. Next.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or have no warranty at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost month-to-month vehicle protection plan that's now available to the public. Save on out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. So please call CarShield now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. 800-925-7584. For a free quote, this protection plan is at an all-time low in price. Drivers who activate the vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. So please call for your free quote, 800-925-7584, 800-925-7584. Hey, what do you have to lose? 800-925-7584.
The Shannon Burke Show.
If I knew that one of my wife's friends had an OnlyFans, I'd check it out. We'd probably check it out together. But I'd be curious.
Okay. You're like, yeah, let's get the $10.99. We're going to have to check this out.
And let's find out how much. Is he pay money?
He's subscribed. So I don't know what that means. I won't pull it up on my browser.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So I leave it to you guys.
The Shannon Burke Show. Weekdays at 2 p.m. East, 1 Central on Florida Man Radio.